Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. Today is a Monday. It is the 22nd of December, 2025. And it is a beautiful, oh, so beautiful, 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 beautiful Monday evening. It has been raining in the capital, so we're just trying our best. We're just trying our best to survive. We're just trying our best to be out here. We're trying our best and we are doing what we can. I think for the most part, everybody just wants to go wherever home is and go and rest. I think there's a kind of fatigue, or there's a kind of tiredness that comes there when the day's about to finish. I know. There's a certain kind of tiredness that comes about when it's almost time, right, to end the year and you are hanging on by dear love. And you're just trying your best. And we are really just doing what we can to try our best. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we're discussing letting it go. We're talking about letting go. We're talking about letting go, what it means to you to let something go, and why it is a necessity for us to let it go if we have to let anything go. Because at the end of the day, right, we are at the end of the year, and I know it doesn't seem like it's a significant time, but it is a time that one would say that we have to leave things in the past. This is what our one opportunity to leave something in the past, for real this time, when it's a year different, for real, you understand? So I'm thinking, how about we just let things be, let things go, and we learn to move. We move quietly, we move loudly, whatever way we choose to move, we move in that direction, and eventually we find peace and we find comfort, and we become something else. Or we allow ourselves to mourn whatever we are letting go, to let go of whatever we are letting go, and to be what we are letting go. Letting go means to release a grip. It could be to release a grip physically. It could be emotionally. Relax and stop worrying, or to end someone's or to end someone's employment. And thinking about it, let's just think about it. Ending somebody's employment is one of the hardest things that an employer can do, because it's like you, before you end somebody's employment, you try your best. You talk. It's like a child. You talk and 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 you try and help them improve, but nothing is working. So at the end of the day, you are forced, right, to release them, to let them go. It also refers to a popular secondhand marketplace where it's called Let It Go. And also, this is releasing something. This is letting something go. So the common meanings for letting something go is physical release, to unhand someone or something. So you had somebody in the grip and then you decide that you're going to let them go. Or you had a balloon in your hand and you open your hand knowing full well that it's going to fly away if it has helium in it, and you do that anyway. And then emotional release is to stop worrying, be less inhibited and enjoy yourself. Let it go, like let loose, let go, you know, let loose, and don't be so uptight and don't be so too much. And yeah, that's emotional release. And then personal growth is also a sense of letting go. So to release negative emotions, past hurts, or attachments to healing and well-being. And then the last one is most now employment, to dismiss someone from their job. They had to let 10 workers go. Other meanings of let it go is also there are films, there are emotions, there are spirituality, practice mindfulness. Like, this is how you let go, right? Practice mindfulness and self-compassion. Accept change and focus on the present. Forgive yourself and forgive others. Keep spiritual practices or faith to surrender control. Because I think that most of us have a problem with having control. And this control in itself is the one that is holding us back from our true sense and our true realities, because we don't want to let things go. It's like a grudge. You don't want to let things go, because also, I've noticed with grudges, it's more about not wanting to let anything go, because if you let this thing go, right, you will now have to deal with your emotions by yourself. You would have nothing to be holding on to. And sometimes we hold on to bad things simply because we don't want to feel better, because we got so comfortable in the hurt, we got so comfortable in the discomfort that we are holding on to it for dear life simply because we don't know a life that's any different without our vendettas, without our grudges, without our whatevers. Have you ever noticed, like, in the movies where there's an image or there is a character within the movie of a grumpy old man or a grumpy old woman? It's usually a grumpy old man that lives alone in his house, and he has, this obsession with his yard or this obsession with his turf, and he doesn't allow anybody to come in, visit him, and he's just known to be a guy that is very, very grumpy. Now, this very, very grumpy character is usually a person that has been deeply hurt and is finding it difficult to heal. And through this healing that they are finding it difficult to do, right? They just isolated and they've just locked themselves out from the world completely, because it's easier to do than to deal with emotions, than to deal with what is actually happening. And also, letting go is also acceptance, right? Acceptance and understanding. We go through multiple stages of grief, and we don't only grieve dead people, we grieve situations, relationships, partnerships, money, we grieve lives that we've lived. You know, I always say that it is a very difficult thing to go through something that you can't handle. And a lot of us tell people that, yeah, God will not give you something that you can't handle. But the truth is that, that's not the truth. The truth is that that's not the truth. Sometimes you get something that you can't handle, and it shapes you and changes you into a person that you no longer recognize, somebody that you no longer understand, somebody that you no longer see, somebody that you no longer are, right? And it changes you so deeply that it affects basically everything. Today I was sitting with my business analyst. I was sitting with my business analyst, and we were going through the business and how it's doing. We were doing our yearly quarters. We're doing our finances to see how we can improve. Before we go on holiday, we must know how we're doing, you know, financially. We must know how we're doing so that we know that, we're not just going to go out there and splurge. We are actually going to do something that is meaningful and something that we can live by. Okay. So we're having a conversation with my business analyst today, and basically I spent like 5 hours there because it was a lot that we had to go through. And the best thing that ever happened to the business was Marius, guys. Like, woo, hello. Shout out to Marius, John Maynard, FNB. Hello. Shout out to Marius. P. please. Okay. So at some point, he had to go to the other branch and I had to leave. So we decided to walk together. And when we walked together, we were talking, you know, and in the middle of the conversation, you know, Marius turns around and he looks at what looks to be a senior man that's walking past. Now I'm thinking that he's very street, like, I don't know, he's very street cred or something, because he's not afraid and he's walking with a laptop and two phones in his hands and he's not afraid, like, the botsotsa are going to come for him or nothing, like. That's like, I'm like, okay, you are very brave, say. But anyhow, so he turns around and I'm thinking he recognized maybe, a Tsotsi or something. And he's looking at the senior man and I look back and I was like, you know him? And then he's like, my dear, that particular man sold me my first car in my whole entire life. He inspired me so much to make things work and to be a go-getter and to get up, you know, when anything hits you hard, you get up and you keep fighting. And, he's a Nigerian national and he has been here for a while. He was married and he had a child as well. And he was married and he was solid, you know, the person that he was solid. This particular gentleman now that we are talking about, he was solid and he was a suit guy apparently. And when we are looking at him, right? We don't see a suit guy. We don't see a suit guy. We don't see him in that era. But apparently he looks great now. I'm like, oh, okay. So what happened? What was rock bottom? And, Marius was telling me that the man in himself is a broken man. Something had happened, you know, something had happened to this particular gentleman where he couldn't handle it. He couldn't handle it and it just went downhill for him. And trust me when I say that there are certain things that don't just shake you. They shake the whole foundation and your whole belief system. They shake everything. They shake everything. They shake your faith. They shake your being. They shake your morals, your principle. They shake everything. There are certain things in life that happen to you as a person that shake you. And one of those things is to lose a child. Lord, I respect those, right? I respect those that, I'm not saying that, I respect those that have picked themselves up after the loss of a child. I respect them so much because this is flesh of your flesh and blood of your blood and bones of your bones. This is your DNA. This is your child. And, it's difficult. It is so difficult that a whole entire gentleman that had his life together, like, just let the whole world just burn around him. He let the whole world burn around him because he couldn't handle the grief. He couldn't handle the loss of his child. Even his marriage didn't survive. His marriage didn't survive. His properties didn't survive. His life did not survive. He's literally just picking up the pieces right now. And we are talking about something that has happened most probably five or 10 years, roughly, if I'm not mistaken, 5 or 10 years ago. And he's picking up the pieces right now. Sometimes there's this interval within your life, like this advertisement break that just goes to hell. Like it is an advertisement break for hell that happens in your life. And this advertisement break, once you're out of the advertisement break, right? It's like it was so short, but when you're living it, it is so long. But the advertisement in itself is just about hell. It's just about, it's trauma after trauma. It's bad after bad. It's cycle after cycle. It's terrible. It is bad, 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 bad. The kind of bad that makes you think things. And when I tell you think things, I mean think things, honey. that kind of bad. There are certain things that, and a certain period sometimes in some people's lives where for these years, I just have no idea what was happening. I have no idea what was happening, and I can't really fully say that I was myself, you know, and that this is what happened to this man, where everything just checked out. And it happens. It happens. It happens to the most of us. It happens when you're, it's just tragedy after tragedy after tragedy. One, the bank is foreclosing the house. There's an eviction notice. You're like, okay, it can't get any worse. Then they send a paper from the children's school, which are, we are taking the children out of the school because you haven't paid school fees. Eh? Because you made a promise and you haven't fulfilled it. Then you're thinking, okay, but it's fine. As long as we still here, we still got the groceries. Let's make it work. Then the groceries finish, bruh. And then you're like, ah, let me Zama somewhere. And then when you go in Zama, and somebody bumps you and breaks your leg. So there's no Zama ring. Hey, then it's hospital bills. Fine. Then you move from private to go to state because you really can't afford that anymore. And also because now you've also lost the job and the medical aid is basically only having like 1 month's worth of medical aid. And that's it because it's terminated. And now you are in state. Also, right? The car is not fully paid off. You could have had, like, look at it like this. You could have had 1 month left to make its full payment. Right? And then you just couldn't. You just couldn't. And 1 month turned to two, 2 months turned to three, 3 months turned to four. The bank came to collect. Now, this fourth month is the month that you are now in the hospital, right? And it's not bad to go to state. It's not. If you would have started at state, it would have saved you debt. It would have saved you debt because you wouldn't be raking up Medi Watwats and Lady Watwats and Roman Watwats bills if you would have started at state because when you are in that space in your life, right? It's difficult to think straight. And it's also extremely difficult to come to terms with the fact that you no longer have. And it's not like you had a lot. It's just that you're broken. You're broken. You are. You're broken. You're broken, Lavi. You're broken. There's nothing we can do about it right now. It's one of those things where you can't do anything about it to fix it. You just have to go through it. And this season lasts. It's the difficult season. It's called the winter season. That's why you need spring, you need autumn, and you need summer. And in usual cases, many of us don't have enough to sustain our winter seasons because we don't know how long our winter seasons are. We don't know if it's going to be 10 years. We don't know if it's going to be 5 years. We don't know if it's going to be a year. We don't know how long our winter seasons are. You are dropping CVs off. Okay, you get out of the hospital. One, wifey can't come and visit you because you just don't have that $26 for her to come and visit. Like, you just don't have it. And also, they're kind of just packing up everything for the bank to take back their house because it's not paid. It's not what, right? So it's a matter of moving into your in-laws because maybe you are an orphan. Ish. It's moving into your in-laws. Now you're going to have to go and live with your mother-in-law. You know, you have to go in. And it's not that your mother-in-law is bad, but you're a man. And that is the tragedy. Like, hey. Yay. Like all of a sudden you are in a space where you can't provide for your family and you used to be a provider and you don't know when this season is going to end. I have a client of mine. She's a lovely, lovely lady. She's lovely. She's so lovely, right? She's going to make you want to create a job for her husband, man. Like, I don't know, like maybe your husband can, I don't know, man, because it's a spa after all, but I don't know, maybe your husband can come in. I don't know what he can do, but let's try. And she's going hard for her husband. Her husband is having a winter season, or he had a winter season. Haven't checked up in them in a couple of months, but I'll check up on them tomorrow. Her husband is having a winter season. A winter season is when everything is shutting down. Everything. You are losing everything, from the job to the clothes to the health to the what to the what. And the only thing that you have left, in all honesty, is your wife. Really. It's just your wife. And that is why I say a partner is a good thing. You know, when you guys are good, you're really good. When you guys are bad, you're really bad. And the only thing that they have is literally just his family. That's all he has left. And he was having a down season where they retrenched people and he was part of the package. And then also where, like everything, his portion was no longer coming in. They lost the house. They went to rent. They're renting a one bedroom flat. So the kids sleep in the sitting room. They sleep in the bedroom. There are things in their house, like from their house to a flat. It doesn't fit. So there are a few things that had to get sold. Guys, life's when life is lifing. And it is a matter of us really honestly understanding that to survive our winter seasons when they come, because everybody has a winter season. It's just that some people are lucky enough to have a winter season that only lasts 6 months and everything gets back on. And there are certain people that have winter seasons that last for years or even decades. That is the part where you start crying and asking and ask yourself, And that's when it's tough. Because for a year you can hold on. For 2 years you can hold on. But then you're watching the world crumble in front of you. And then at some point also, with this particular other gentleman, his wife had also lost a job, but luckily she's a very, very immaculate, employee. So when she lost her job, she went out job hunting and they scooped her up immediately. So at least there was one income. But imagine like those 2 months that both of them are unemployed. The kids still have to eat. The kids, and these are people that are grown, you know, and it's not baby talk. It's real talk here. And that's why we're talking about letting it go. You know, we're talking about some things are just bigger than you, and you have to go through them and understand that there are certain things that you have to let go. There are certain things that you have to release and allow. Because when your winter season is finally over, it doesn't just magically become summer outside. No. First of all, the snow has to melt. The ice has to melt, darling. It doesn't just become hot just like that. We have to gradually move into summer. Because if you just move into summer like that, you're going to have the shock of your life. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about letting things rest. Letting things go, allowing our minds to heal us, allowing our minds to work, allowing our emotions to not be so torn up about the things that are tearing us up, and understanding that that is a lie that they fed us. That story of God gives the strongest soldiers the toughest battles. That's not true. Because this is not a war. That's not true. This is not a war. We're not fighting against anything. Not even the devil. We're not fighting against anything. Because the devil that is not a creator. So, we're not like, he's null and void, that guy. Not unless you believe in him so badly that you give him that kind of power. Mara, like in all honesty, God wins. He does, he wins. But sometimes, right? The battle is long, and sometimes we have to learn a few lessons. This is where you start to appreciate this wife of yours. Chom, This is where you start to appreciate this wife of yours that's holding you down. This is the part where you start to appreciate this husband of yours that is holding you down, holding down the fort. It is nobody's responsibilities. Other people get divorced when things go south. Like the first gentleman that we're talking about, these people got divorced after they lost a child because they couldn't handle the grief. And like, I don't know, they just started hating each other. They started blaming each other. I don't know what went down in that household of theirs, right? But it was so big, right, that they had to let a 20-year relationship go. We can't talk about divorce rates when we don't know the backstory. It's better for us to be like, oh, okay, yeah, yeah, it's sad. It's real sad. Sad shit. She said that lela lela shit. But we can't even really say that it's because women are, or men are, Life is deeper than it that meets the eye. We're talking about letting go of something. We're talking about letting go of what is killing you inside. And sometimes, right, letting this thing go is the only way to survive or to overcome. Sometimes letting go of this particular, letting go doesn't mean, oh, I'm forgetting, I'm doing what, oh, I'm just going to live my life. Sometimes, right? Sometimes you just have to let it play out. And that could be a form of letting it go. Just let it play out. Okay, you're diagnosed with cancer. Okay. Don't hold on to one, two, we're going to try. No. Take your medication. Take your medication and let it be. Because if you let that go, your body might just be so relaxed that it might go into remission. And the cancer might just die. There are so many testimonies all over the place. It's allowing, right, our minds to not mess with us. Our insides to not mess with us. It's allowing us to have a fair fighting chance. The only person that can give you a fighting chance here is yourself and your maker. So, what are we going to let go? How are we going to let go of what's killing us inside? How?
If you lost your show, all of that is good to ngupo. Oma wa o tomono okutako NHP. Genge wa longi fire longi foli li pedulo wa wo haku. Olo halipiti kwa efiku ne fiku. Mefiloshi shelo haku oe. Owa washimali wa osha kupako. Washika we delwa kom to alando akashi. Koma punglo e na shano unjola welewe. Otodulo okulongi fa oma wa oe. Wa hupuko. Opouna miti to shiningi momikalo di hapungashi. Okufuti lapo oimali wa ishona. Oyo hodulo okupolwa. Ulifutila ove mwene, oma yakulo olu hapu, hakala ina kwa telwa, mowa we kwa folo elo unamiti. Ile, otojulu no kuri, okupitifapo e mwe didonumba, tokala inofuta e akulolo elo unamiti. Kowyalele uhapu, talela po nhp.com.na. Ema ngono malandola fano ododi na okulandulwa. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
Alrighty, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, we are diving into the world of the unknown. We are doing the things that that most of us need to do. We are trying to figure out the art of letting something go. How are we going to figure this out? How are we going to go into 2026 with healed minds, healed emotions, healed wounds, healed? How are we going to heal from the turmoil that we have called our lives for such a long time? I want us to dive into that. And of course, right, I want us to dive into that with Unongo. I want us to dive into that with a teaching or two. I want us to dive into that with a full understanding of what is happening. I want us to dive into it, knowing. And also, ladies and gentlemen, so I'm officially going on holiday. So today is my final day this year. And I want to leave you this because I've worked most now, my Christmases, I've worked with you guys. I've been here. So this year, you know, what you also know what's happening in my little old life. So I'm finally going to to go and chill in the world and maybe take a sleep or two, you know, rest, you know, recuperate, drink my meds. And I was just thinking about, leaving you with something you can ponder on, and leaving you with something that you can think about, leaving you with something that you can learn from, leaving you with something to hold you down while I go and I recover. While I go, I recover, I come back bigger and better and faster. While I go and meet up with you guys in the streets or in the mountains, because I'm feeling mountains and I'm feeling water. I'm feeling Mother Nature. I'm feeling doing things like fishing. I'm feeling doing things that require no talking. I'm feeling like reading books. I'm feeling like crocheting. I told you guys, I'm a crocheter, right? I'm a knitter. I'm a crocheter. And I have been blocking myself from crocheting because I know that the minute I start, I will not stop because it is going to be an outlet for me. So I'm just, you know, trying to discipline myself in such a way that I'm like, woo! No, we're not starting that one. That is going to be a habit that is going to kill us. Because I'm going to be making blankets for ants. I'm going to be making blankets. I'm going to be making shoes. I'm going to be making jerseys. I'm going to like, yeah, no, we're not doing that. Please, please, we're not doing that. So I want us to listen to our very last book for the year and take from it as much as we can take. And if we miss a beat, if we miss a word, then we go onto our Eagle FM app and we go onto our podcast and we now go into the previous show and we listen again. We listen again because I think that this year has been magical and disastrous at the same time. It's one of those balanced years. It's the tragedy equals to the happiness. You're like, I don't know, man. I don't know. But we're going to listen to an audiobook called The Art of Letting Go, What is Killing You Inside. And it's by Nick Trenton. Ladies and gentlemen, we as Eagle Media House do not claim any ownership of this particular audio. We are strictly using it for learning purposes, enhancement purposes, and giving those that don't have the platforms to reach such information an opportunity to also be part of it. Ladies and gentlemen, from me, the matriarch, I say, get your jerseys, get your blankets, get your cup of tea, get ready, listen, get a book, take notes, so that maybe, just maybe, right? It will help you as much as it's helping me.
Have you ever felt like you're carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders? Like your past, your worries, your regrets are all chaining you down? You're not alone. In a world that never stops, we rarely pause to ask, what if the peace we're chasing isn't in holding on, but in letting go? This isn't just a book. It's your invitation to release what no longer serves you and finally breathe free. Welcome to The Art of Letting Go. Let's begin. Chapter 1. The Heavy Weight of Overthinking. Imagine standing at the edge of a quiet lake. The surface is calm, smooth like glass. But then you throw in a pebble, a thought. Ripples spread. Then another pebble and another. Soon, the lake isn't calm anymore. It's chaotic. That's what overthinking feels like. Overthinking isn't simply thinking too much. It's analyzing, replaying, predicting, doubting, and rehearsing things that may never happen. It's the endless loop in your mind that steals peace, paralyzes action, and drains energy. And yet, most of us live with it daily, believing it's part of being responsible, smart, or prepared. But here's the truth. Overthinking is a habit, not a personality trait. and habits can be broken. The illusion of control. One of the core reasons we overthink is the belief that if we analyze something enough, we can control the outcome. We want to avoid mistakes, pain, and regret. We want to be ready for everything. But life doesn't reward overpreparedness. It rewards presence. Overthinking gives us a false sense of control. But in reality, it removes our ability to respond with clarity. Instead of solving problems, we create new ones in our minds. Instead of protecting ourselves, we imprison ourselves in fear and doubt. Why the mind spirals? Our brains are designed for survival, not happiness. That means it constantly scans for threats, real or imagined. This is called the negativity bias. It's why you can get 10 compliments and still obsess over the one criticism. It's why your brain replays that awkward conversation from last week. Overthinking is the modern brain's way of trying to stay safe. But today, most of our threats are emotional, not physical. Rejection, embarrassment, failure. And the brain doesn't know the difference. It responds the same way it would to danger in the wild, by getting stuck in loops. What letting go really means. Letting go isn't about forgetting. It's not about pretending things didn't happen. It's about choosing peace over chaos. It's choosing to loosen your grip on what you can't control, other people, the past, the future, and redirect your focus to the only thing you do control, your response. Letting go is a skill, and like any skill, it gets easier with practice. A moment of awareness. Take a moment right now. Breathe in deeply. Hold it. Now exhale slowly. Notice your thoughts. Don't fight them. Don't label them. Just observe. This is the first step in letting go. Awareness. When you become aware that your mind is spiraling, you create space between you and your thoughts. You are not your thoughts. You are the observer. Real life example. Sarah's loop. Sarah was a marketing manager who constantly replayed her mistakes. A typo in an email would haunt her for days. She'd think, "What will my boss think? Did I ruin the campaign? Will I lose my job?" Her anxiety skyrocketed. She started journaling, a simple 5-minute habit each night. She wrote her worries down, and after a while, noticed a pattern. Her fears rarely came true. She began using a phrase, "That's just a thought, not a fact." That sentence gave her freedom. Slowly, she learned to release what wasn't in her control. Her confidence grew, not because her world changed, but because her mind did. Practical takeaway, the thought dump. Try this every morning or night. Grab a notebook. Set a timer for 5 minutes. Write every single thought racing in your head without editing. Close the notebook. This is not for solving problems. This is for clearing mental space, like closing background apps on your phone. A new way forward. You don't have to be at the mercy of your thoughts. You don't have to overanalyze every moment. You don't have to live in mental traffic. Letting go is choosing clarity over clutter. Peace over panic. It starts with one breath, one pause, one choice. This is the art of letting go. Chapter 2, The Silent Saboteur. Self-talk and the inner critic. You talk to yourself more than anyone else in the world. But here's the question. What kind of conversations are you having with yourself? Most of us walk around with an invisible voice in our heads, an inner critic. It whispers judgments, replays mistakes, and questions every decision. It tells you that you're not good enough, not smart enough, not ready. It sabotages your peace before the world even gets the chance. Letting go means learning to tame that voice. The power of self-talk. Your thoughts shape your reality. If you repeatedly tell yourself you're failing, unlovable, or not capable, your brain begins to believe it. that belief turns into hesitation, then inaction, and soon, regret. But the same mechanism can be used in your favor. Positive self-talk isn't cheesy affirmation. It's brain training. It's rewiring. It's choosing new words to create new patterns. From judgment to curiosity. Overthinking often sounds like this. Why did I say that? I sounded so stupid. I'll never get this right. I mess everything up. What if I fail again? But what if you flipped those statements into questions? What can I learn from that conversation? What did I do right today? What's the best that could happen? Curiosity is the antidote to judgment. When you ask questions with compassion instead of blame, your brain looks for solutions, not shame. Real life example. Mark's inner war. Mark was an engineer who constantly doubted himself. He'd rewrite emails 3 times before sending them. At meetings, he stayed quiet, afraid of sounding dumb. One day, his therapist gave him a simple tool, a rubber band around his wrist. Every time he caught himself thinking negatively, he snapped it gently and replaced the thought with something empowering. It wasn't magic, but slowly it worked. I'm not ready became, I'm learning. I messed up became, I gave it my best today. Within months, Mark started speaking up. He even pitched a new idea that got approved company-wide. The voice in your head matters. Make it your friend, not your enemy. Practical technique. Name the critic. Give your inner critic a name. Call it Doubtful Dan or Anxious Annie. This separates the voice from you. When it starts spiraling, say, "Oh, Dan's talking again." This small shift disarms its power. It's not you who's broken. It's just a thought pattern, and patterns can be changed. Creating a compassionate mindset. Try this daily. Before bed, write down 3 things you did well. When a negative thought arises, ask, "Would I say this to a friend?"
Die koop en verkoop van kommunale grond. Aandag inwoners van Namibië se kommunale gebiede. Hierdie is 'n belangrike aankondiging deur die Ministerie van Landbou, Visserye, Water en Grondhervorming. Luister asseblief aandagtig en deel hierdie boodskap met die familielede, bure en vriende. Stop die praktyk van die koop of verkoop van kommunale grond. Hoekom? Omdat kommunale grond in 'n Namibië staatsgrond is en onder geen omstandighede verkoop mag word nie. Enige betrokke transaksies in verband met die koop of verkoop van sodanige grond is onwettig. Sulke aktiwiteite word ten strengste deur die Wet op Kommunale Grondhervorming, Wet nommer 5 van 2002 verbied. Gevolge van onwettige grondtransaksies, regstraf, oortreders kan boetes en gevangenisstraf opgelê word, ontwrigting van gemeenskapsharmonie. Die koop of verkoop van kommunale grond kan tot grondgeskille en spanning binne ons gemeenskappe lei. Wat u moet weet, is dat kommunale grond behoort aan ons almal. Dit is 'n gedeelde hulpbron wat vir almal tot voordeel moet wees. Bewaar ons erfenis. Deur kommunale grond te respekteer, eer ons ons kulturele nalatenskap en beskerm ons ons omgewing. Rapporteer onwettige aktiwiteite. Indien u enige vermoede van onwettige grondtransaksies het, word u vriendelik versoek om dit aan die tradisionele owerheid, die kommunale grondraad of die naaste kantoor van die ministerie te rapporteer. Kom ons werk saam aan die bewaring van ons gemeenskaplike grondhulpbronne ten bate van toekomstige geslagte. Die ministerie aanvaar geen aanspreeklikheid vir enige verlies van grondhulpbronne wat mag voortvloei uit die onwettige koop of verkoop van gemeenskapsgrond nie. Onthou, kommunale grond is kosbaar. Kom ons hou dit veilig en verseker vir almal. Dankie vir die samewerking. Hierdie radioboodskap is met finansiële ondersteuning van die regering van die Republiek van Namibië en die Federale Republiek van Duitsland deur die Duitse Ontwikkelingsbank KfW vervaardig. Vir verdere inligting, kontak asseblief die naaste kantoor van die ministerie of die kantoor vir openbare betrekkinge van die ministerie van Landbou, Visserye, Water en Grondhervorming by die volgende telefoonnommer 061-208-7604.
And replace harshness with kindness. Not false praise, but gentle truth. Example, instead of I'm so lazy, say, today was tough, but I showed up the best I could. Letting go of perfection. So much self-talk is rooted in perfectionism, the belief that unless it's flawless, it's worthless. But perfection isn't the goal. Progress is. Letting go means embracing the messy, awkward, honest parts of growth. It means understanding that mistakes aren't proof of failure. They're proof of effort. Your inner voice should sound like a coach, not a critic. Final thought. You are listening. Your brain hears every word you say about yourself. So speak gently. Speak kindly. Speak like you matter, because you do. The art of letting go isn't about becoming someone new. It's about remembering who you were before the world told you otherwise. And it starts by changing the conversation inside your mind. Chapter 3. Emotional Baggage. Why we carry what no longer serves us. Imagine walking through life with a backpack. At first, it's light. But every time you're hurt, disappointed, rejected, or betrayed, a brick is added. Slowly, your back bends. Your energy fades. Your joy becomes heavy. That backpack is your emotional baggage. And unless you learn to unpack it, it will weigh you down for years, sometimes for life. What is emotional baggage? Emotional baggage is the collection of unresolved feelings from your past. Grief, guilt, shame, anger, heartbreak that you carry into your present. It affects how you see yourself, how you react to others, and how you approach relationships and decisions. The problem? Most of us carry this baggage unconsciously. We normalize it. We bury it. We wear it like armor, believing it protects us, when in truth, it traps us. Letting go means daring to unzip that backpack and take a hard, honest look inside. Why we hold on? We don't hold on because we enjoy the pain. We hold on because we're afraid. Afraid of forgetting. Afraid of being vulnerable again. Afraid that if we release the past, we'll lose a piece of who we are. Sometimes the pain becomes part of our identity. I was the one they abandoned. I'm the one who always gets hurt. But you are not your past. You are not your scars. You are the one who survived them. Real life example. Lena's heartbreak. Lena had been cheated on in her first serious relationship. It shattered her trust. Years later, even with a loving new partner, she couldn't shake the fear. Every time he was 5 minutes late, her mind spiraled. What if he's lying? What if he's like the last one? She finally admitted to herself, I'm still carrying the pain of someone who isn't even in my life anymore. That realization changed everything. With therapy, journaling, and self-compassion, she began to let go, not of the memory, but of the meaning she attached to it. She didn't erase the past. She just stopped letting it define her future. Emotions are messengers. Your emotions don't come to punish you. They come to teach you. Grief tells you what mattered. Anger shows where your boundaries were crossed. Shame reveals where healing is needed. But once the message is received, the emotion can be released. You don't need to keep rereading the same painful chapter. The cost of holding on. Unprocessed emotions show up in strange ways. Overreacting to small things. Constant tension in the body. Distrust in relationships. Trouble sleeping. Anxiety that seems to come from nowhere. These are signals from your mind and body. It's time to let go. Practical tool. The emotional inventory. Set aside 15 minutes. Sit in a quiet space. ask yourself, what pain am I still carrying? Whose voice still lives in my head? What moment from the past still stings when I think about it? Write freely. Don't filter. Don't judge. Then ask, what do I need to say that I never said? You may need to write a letter you'll never send, or say aloud what you've held in for years. This is emotional decluttering. You can't heal what you won't face. Release doesn't mean reconciliation. Letting go doesn't always mean making peace with the person who hurt you. It means making peace with the memory. It means choosing not to give them real estate in your heart anymore. Forgiveness is not saying what they did was okay. It's saying, I'm done carrying the weight of what you did. Final reflection. Empty your backpack. You get one life. Don't carry more than you need. Release the resentment. Let go of guilt. Say goodbye to the narratives that no longer serve you. You deserve to walk freely, lightly, boldly into your future. And it all begins with this quiet, powerful decision. I don't need to carry this anymore. That is the art of letting go. Chapter 4. Breaking the Loop. How to stop overthinking everything. You've replayed that conversation 10 times in your head. You've imagined every worst-case scenario before even taking the first step. You've asked, what if? So often that it feels like a chant. This is the trap of overthinking. Overthinking is a silent thief. It steals your peace, your sleep, your confidence, and eventually, your joy. It convinces you that thinking more will give you control, when in reality, it only creates more chaos. Letting go means breaking free from the endless loop of rumination and learning to live in the present moment. The illusion of control. Overthinking gives you the illusion that if you analyze something enough, you'll prevent pain or failure. But life doesn't work like that. No amount of thinking can guarantee certainty. Sometimes you just have to act. Imagine standing at the edge of a pool, thinking about how cold the water is, calculating the best angle to jump in, and worrying about whether it's deep enough. Eventually, you realize the only way to truly know is to jump. Why we overthink? It often stems from fear. Fear of making the wrong choice. Fear of rejection. Fear of regret. Fear of not being perfect. But behind all of that is the deeper fear, not being enough. Overthinking is our mind's way of trying to protect us. But protection turns into paralysis. And that's when we get stuck. Real life example. Dev's dilemma. Dev had a great business idea. He talked about it constantly, researched for months, created 10 different drafts of his plan. But he never launched. When asked why, he said, "What if people don't like it? What if I fail publicly?" His friend replied, "Dev, you're failing privately every day by doing nothing." That hit hard. And it was true. Dev didn't need another thought. He needed motion. How to break the overthinking cycle? Set a decision deadline. Give yourself a time limit. Example, I will decide by 6 p.m. today. Overthinking thrives on open-ended decisions. Create structure. Limit information intake. Stop reading 100 reviews. Stop polling 10 friends. More input doesn't always mean better output. It just fuels analysis paralysis. Take imperfect action. Don't wait to be ready. You won't feel ready. Send the email, make the call, publish the post, apply for the job. Progress begins where perfection ends. Ground yourself in the present. Overthinking lives in the past and future. The cure is now. Try this. Look around. Name 3 things you see, 2 you hear, 1 you feel. This simple grounding technique pulls your mind back from the spiral. Mantra for the overthinker. Say this aloud, or in your head, when the loop begins. Not everything needs a perfect answer. I trust myself to handle whatever comes. Because that's the truth. You've survived 100% of your worst days. You'll survive what's ahead too. The cost of waiting. While you're busy overthinking, someone else is out there taking action. They're not smarter. They're not more prepared. They're just moving. And momentum creates confidence. The truth is, clarity comes after action, not before. Final reflection. Think less, live more. Overthinking is like rocking in a chair. It gives you something to do, but gets you nowhere. Letting go means releasing the need to control every outcome and learning to trust your gut, your strength, your journey. You don't have to have it all figured out. You just have to take the next right step. And sometimes the bravest thing you can do is stop thinking and start living. Chapter 5. Letting go of people. When it's time to stop holding on, some people come into your life as blessings. Others come as lessons. And some overstay their chapter in your story. Letting go of people is one of the hardest parts of life. But it's also one of the most necessary acts of self-respect. We often cling to relationships, not because they're good for us, but because they're familiar. We remember how things used to be and convince ourselves they'll go back to that someday. But deep down, we know the version of that person we loved no longer exists. The truth about outgrowing people. Not everyone is meant to go with you to the next level of your life. Sometimes you outgrow a friendship. Sometimes a romantic connection fades. Sometimes family becomes a boundary you have to enforce for your own peace. And that's okay. Growth means change. And change sometimes means separation. Why letting go is so hard? It's not just the person we struggle to release. It's the dreams we built with them. The memories, the time invested, the identity we shaped around the relationship. Letting go can feel like failure, like giving up, like betrayal. But in reality, it's freedom. Freedom from trying to fix what's not yours to fix. Freedom from waiting for someone to change. Freedom from begging for the bare minimum. Real life example, Amara's friendship.
It's Christmas.
Can you feel the spirit of the season? Open your heart to the world. Hey, it doesn't matter if you're all alone, 'cause as Namibians, we stand together. Your Jesus, we have a blessed Merry Christmas.
Amara had been best friends with Nina for over a decade. They did everything together. But as time passed, Nina became passive-aggressive, competitive, and emotionally distant. Amara kept excusing it. She's going through a lot. But one day she asked herself, if I met her today, would I want her in my life? The answer was no. That clarity hurt, but it was honest. Amara didn't confront Nina in anger. She simply stopped forcing the connection. She let the silence speak, and eventually peace followed. Signs it's time to let go. You feel drained after every interaction. You're walking on eggshells. You're always the one reaching out. You've communicated your needs, but nothing changes. You feel guilty for growing. If you're constantly questioning whether this person is good for you, it's usually a sign they're not. Letting go doesn't mean hatred. You can release someone and still wish them well. You can walk away without needing revenge or drama. You can love someone and still choose yourself. That's called emotional maturity, and it's powerful. Practical tool, the goodbye letter. you may never get closure from the person you're letting go. So give it to yourself. Write a letter you never send. Start with, "Thank you for the good. I've learned from the pain, but it's time for me to move on." Say what you never got to say. Cry if you must, then delete it, burn it, or bury it. This is symbolic. It tells your brain, "I release this." The fear of being alone. Many people stay in unhealthy relationships because they fear loneliness. But here's the truth. Being alone and being lonely are not the same. Sometimes the loneliest place is in the wrong company. Letting go of the wrong people creates space for the right ones. People who see you, hear you, choose you. People who don't drain you, but light you up. Final reflection, honor the ending. Every ending is a beginning in disguise. Don't resist what's falling apart. Don't chase what's choosing to leave. Let it go. Let them go. Let yourself go into the freedom you've been denying. Because the right people don't require you to shrink. They grow with you. Let go, so you can rise. Chapter 6. The Weight We Carry Releasing Guilt and Shame. Guilt whispers, "You should have done more." Shame screams, "You were never enough." Together, they become heavy bags we carry through life. Bags packed with regret, self-blame, and the belief that we're somehow broken. But here's the truth. You are not your past. You are not your worst moment. You are not the story your guilt keeps repeating. Letting go of guilt and shame isn't about forgetting. It's about forgiving, especially yourself. Understanding the difference. Guilt says, "I did something bad." Shame says, "I am bad." One is about action. The other is about identity. Guilt can be helpful when it leads to growth, but shame? Shame traps you. It convinces you that you are unworthy of love, joy, or redemption. And that's a lie. Where it begins. Guilt and shame often start in childhood. A parent blames you unfairly. A teacher humiliates you. You make a mistake and no one helps you process it. So you internalize the pain. You start to believe, something is wrong with me. And that belief follows you like a shadow, even when you're doing your best. Real life example. Priya's regret. Priya walked away from a relationship that no longer felt right. Years later, she still questioned her choice. What if I hurt him too much? Did I give up too soon? She held on to guilt for choosing herself. Until a therapist told her, guilt isn't always truth. Sometimes it's just conditioning. That changed everything. Priya realized she wasn't selfish. She was brave. Brave enough to walk away instead of pretending everything was fine. How to release guilt and shame. Acknowledge the feeling without judgment. Say, "I feel guilty," not, "I am guilty." Create distance between who you are and what you feel. Ask, "Is this mine to carry?" Some guilt isn't even yours. It was projected onto you. Ask, "Did I truly do something wrong? Or was I made to feel responsible for someone else's emotions?" Make amends, if needed. If your actions hurt someone, apologize. But don't over-apologize. Own your part, not more. Then forgive yourself, fully, repeatedly, if necessary. Challenge shame-based thoughts. When your inner voice says, "I'm not enough," respond with truth. "I'm human. I made mistakes, and I'm still worthy of love and peace." Write a release statement. On paper, write, "I forgive myself for holding on to guilt that no longer serves me. I release the belief that I must suffer to be a good person." Then tear it up, burn it, or throw it away. Let that moment mark your freedom. Mantra for the healing heart. Say this when guilt or shame surfaces. I am allowed to grow beyond my past. I am not who I was. I am who I choose to become. You don't have to earn forgiveness. You're not here to punish yourself forever. You're here to learn, to love, and to evolve. Forgiveness isn't letting yourself off the hook. It's freeing yourself from a prison you were never meant to stay in. Final reflection. Lay down the weight. Imagine walking through life with a heavy backpack. Guilt and shame are the bricks inside. Now, imagine setting that backpack down. How would that feel? Lighter? Freer? More alive? That feeling is possible. But only when you stop punishing yourself for being human. Let go of guilt. Release the shame. Choose compassion. Choose healing. Because the person you're becoming deserves a chance to breathe. Chapter 7. The Fear of Change. Embracing the unknown. Change is terrifying. It shakes the very foundation of what we know. It forces us to step into the unknown, where comfort and certainty no longer exist. But here's the paradox. The only way to truly grow is through change. And the only thing that can prevent that growth is fear. The fear of change keeps us stuck in familiar patterns, even when those patterns no longer serve us. But what if, instead of fearing change, we welcomed it? What if we saw the unknown not as a threat, but as a possibility? Why we resist change? We resist change for one simple reason. It feels unsafe. The human brain is wired for survival, and in the past, unfamiliar territory meant danger. But today the danger is often not physical, it's emotional. What if we fail? What if we're judged? What if we make a mistake? These are the questions that arise when we face the unknown. But asking them is part of the process. It's normal to feel fear when stepping into uncharted waters. Real life example. Theo's career shift. Theo had been in the same job for years. He was good at it. But deep down, he knew it wasn't his passion. He dreamed of starting his own business. But every time he thought about taking that leap, fear gripped him. What if I fail? He thought. What if I can't make it work? But then, one day, Theo realized, I'm already failing by not trying. He took the leap. It wasn't smooth sailing at first, but every setback taught him more than staying in his comfort zone ever could. And the fear? It became the fuel for his growth. The power of embracing the unknown redefined change. Instead of seeing change as a threat, try seeing it as an opportunity. Ask, what could be waiting for me on the other side of this change? Shift from fear to curiosity. Change often brings fear because we focus on worst-case scenarios. Shift your perspective. Ask, what can I learn from this experience? Curiosity opens the door to new possibilities. Start small. Change doesn't have to be a massive, overwhelming leap. Take one small step outside your comfort zone. Each tiny act of bravery builds your confidence and shifts your mindset. Trust the process. Change takes time. You won't have all the answers right away. Trust that, as you move forward, the path will unfold. And if it doesn't look like you imagined, that's okay. Sometimes the detours lead to the best destinations. Mantra for embracing change. When fear of change rises, repeat this. I am capable of navigating the unknown. I trust in my ability to handle whatever comes. Every step forward is progress. The growth you're meant for. Imagine standing at the edge of a cliff. The wind is strong, and the fall looks daunting. But just below, the ground is soft and welcoming. Taking the leap feels terrifying. But the moment you jump, you realize that you were never meant to stay on the edge. You were meant to fly. Change is not something you should fear. It is something you should welcome. Final reflection. the courage to evolve. Evolution requires change. To evolve, you must embrace it, step into it, and trust the unfolding process. The unknown doesn't have to be scary. It's just new. And within the new lies the potential to become the version of yourself you've always dreamed of. So let go of the fear. Step forward into the unknown. Because that's where your growth, your true self, and your best life await. Chapter 8. The Power of Now Living in the Present Moment. We spend so much of our time thinking about the past or worrying about the future that we forget to live in the only moment we truly have. The present. The past is gone. The future hasn't arrived. All we really have is now. Yet, most of us are addicted to the stories of the past or the anxiety of the future. We chase what's already over, or we fear what's yet to come. But true peace, true freedom, is found in the present moment. Why we avoid the present. The present moment can feel uncomfortable because it forces us to face the truth about where we are. When we focus on the present, we stop hiding behind distractions, worries, or regrets. And that can feel vulnerable. So, we distract ourselves with endless thoughts of what's next, or replay the stories of our past. But the present is where life is truly happening. Real life example. Zoe's struggle with anxiety. Zoe was constantly worried about the future. What would happen with her career? Would she ever find true happiness? What if she failed? Then, one day, Zoe realized she wasn't living her life. She was living in her head. Through meditation, Zoe started practicing mindfulness. She learned to bring her attention to the present moment, the sounds around her, the way the sun felt on her skin. The simple joy of breathing. It wasn't easy at first, but over time, Zoe learned to embrace the present, moment by moment. And the more she practiced, the more peace she found. How to let go of the past and future. Focus on your breath. Breathing is always happening now. Take a few deep breaths and feel the sensation of air entering and leaving your body. When you focus on your breath, you anchor yourself to the present. Be present with what's around you. When you feel your mind drifting to the past or future, stop and observe your surroundings. What do you see, hear, smell, or feel right now? Engage all your senses to bring yourself back to this moment. Practice gratitude. Gratitude forces you to notice the good in the present. What are you thankful for right now? By focusing on the positive, you shift your mind away from fear and regret. Let go of the need for control. The future can seem overwhelming because we think we must control it. But life is unpredictable. Trust that things will unfold as they should, without your constant worry. Be gentle with yourself. Letting go of the past doesn't mean denying it. Acknowledge it, learn from it, and then choose to move forward. Don't be hard on yourself for not living in the present. You're human. Start where you are, and each time your mind wanders, gently bring it back. Mantra for living in the now. When you catch yourself in the grip of the past or future, say this. This moment is all I have. I am here now. And this moment is enough. The freedom of now. Living in the present is the key to true freedom. It's the key to peace. It's the key to joy. When you let go of the need to control the future or replay the past, you open yourself up to the richness of now. This moment, right here, holds everything you need. It's where life happens, where you can create, heal, and grow. Final reflection, the present is your gift. Imagine sitting quietly, fully present, with no worries about what's next or what's behind you. In that space, you are free. In that space, you can breathe. In that space, you can let go. The present is not just a moment in time, It is your moment. And it is a gift waiting to be unwrapped. So embrace it. Live it. Let go of everything that isn't here. Because now is all you truly need. Chapter 9. Embracing Imperfection. The freedom of being enough. Perfectionism is a prison. It locks us in a never-ending cycle of trying to be better, smarter, more successful, as if who we are right now is not enough. But the truth is, imperfection is the very essence of life. It is what makes us human, real, and beautiful. Embracing imperfection isn't about lowering your standards. It's about freeing yourself from the burden of always needing to be perfect. It's about accepting that you are already enough, just as you are. Why we strive for perfection. Perfectionism often comes from a deep-seated fear. The fear that if we aren't perfect, we won't be loved, accepted, or valued. It stems from the belief that if we make a mistake or fall short of an impossible standard, we'll be seen as unworthy. But the truth is, no one is perfect. And that's what makes us relatable. That's what makes us human. Real life example. Sam's fear of failure. Sam spent years chasing perfection. In his career, in his relationships, even in his appearance, everything had to be flawless. But despite his achievements, he never felt truly successful. He always felt like he was missing something. It wasn't until Sam had a conversation with his mentor that things began to shift. His mentor said, "Perfection doesn't exist. What matters is your progress, your willingness to show up and be real." That was the moment Sam realized. Perfection wasn't the goal. Being himself was. The freedom of letting go of perfection. Accept your flaws as part of you. The things you dislike about yourself are the very things that make you unique. Embrace them. Recognize that your imperfections are yours, and they are what make you real. Stop comparing yourself to others. The highlight reel of other people's lives doesn't reflect their struggles, their flaws, or their imperfections. Focus on your own journey. Your path is uniquely yours, and there's no need to measure it against anyone else's. Give yourself permission to fail. Failure isn't a sign of weakness. It's a sign of growth. Every time you fail, you gain wisdom, resilience, and experience. So, let go of the fear of making mistakes and see each one as a stepping stone to success. Celebrate small wins. Instead of waiting for the perfect moment or outcome, celebrate progress. Each step forward, no matter how small, is an achievement worth acknowledging. Shift your perspective on success. Success isn't about being perfect. It's about being authentic. It's about showing up, doing your best, and finding joy in the process rather than fixating on the end result. Mantra for embracing imperfection. When perfectionism creeps in, repeat this. I am enough just as I am. My imperfections make me whole. I release the need for perfection and embrace progress. The joy of being real, living authentically, free from the pressure of perfection, is where true joy lies. You don't need to earn your worth. You already possess it, right now, in your perfectly imperfect self. When you embrace who you truly are, flaws and all, you unlock the freedom to live fully, unapologetically, and with deep fulfillment. Final reflection. Imperfection is your power. Imagine standing in front of a mirror, looking at yourself without judgment. All of your flaws are simply pieces of your unique story. They are not weaknesses. They are strengths. You are enough just as you are. Your imperfections are not something to hide, but something to celebrate. Because it is in your imperfections that your true beauty shines. So let go of perfection. Let go of the need to be flawless. And embrace the beauty of being you. perfectly imperfect and always enough. Chapter 10. The Power of Forgiveness. Letting go of the past. Forgiveness is not just for others, it's for you. It's the key that unlocks the chains holding you to your past, to your pain, and to the people who have wronged you. When we hold on to grudges, we carry them like invisible weight. The longer we hold on to resentment, the heavier it becomes. But forgiveness is the process of lightening that load. It's not about excusing the actions of others. It's about freeing yourself from the emotional prison of anger and hurt. Why we struggle to forgive. Forgiveness can feel impossible. It feels like we're letting the person who wronged us off the hook, as if they don't deserve forgiveness. But the truth is, forgiveness is not about them. It's about your own peace. When you forgive, you're choosing to release the power that the past holds over you. You're choosing freedom, peace, and emotional clarity. Real life example. Rachel's journey of forgiveness. Rachel was betrayed by a close friend, someone she trusted with her deepest secrets. The betrayal left a scar, and for years, Rachel carried anger and resentment, believing that holding on to the hurt was her way of punishing the person who had wronged her. But one day, Rachel realized, I'm not hurting them, I'm hurting myself. So she decided to forgive. Not because the betrayal was okay, but because she didn't want to keep letting it control her. The moment Rachel forgave, she felt lighter. The weight that had held her back for years began to lift. Forgiveness didn't change the past, but it transformed her future. The healing power of letting go. Forgive for your own peace. Forgiveness is not about the other person. It's about you. When you forgive, you're choosing to let go of the emotional burden and claim your peace back. Release the need for revenge. Holding on to anger in the hope of revenge only keeps you tied to the past. Instead, let go of the desire for payback and trust that time and life will bring balance. Understand the power of compassion. Everyone makes mistakes. The person who hurt you is also human and flawed. Compassion allows you to see beyond their actions and recognize their own struggles. Heal yourself first. Forgiveness is not just about releasing the other person. It's about your own emotional healing. By forgiving, you take back control of your emotions and your well-being. Choose to move forward. Letting go of past hurt allows you to create new memories and experiences. You free yourself to grow, evolve, and build a future that isn't defined by past wounds. Mantra for forgiveness. When you find yourself holding on to hurt, repeat this. I release the past and choose peace. I forgive, not because they deserve it, but because I deserve to be free. The freedom in forgiveness. Forgiveness doesn't mean you condone the wrong that was done. It means you are no longer willing to let it define you or control your life. It's about choosing to heal, move on, and let go. When you forgive, you free yourself. You stop giving away your power to those who have hurt you, and you reclaim your peace. Final reflection, the power you hold. Imagine standing tall, free from the weight of past grudges, resentment, and anger. In your heart, there's only peace and lightness. You've forgiven. You've let go. Now you are free to live fully, to love deeply, and to grow without the heavy burden of the past. Forgiveness is not just a gift to others. It is a gift to yourself. And in letting go of the past, you create space for the life you truly deserve. Chapter 11. Letting go of control. Embracing the flow of life. Control is an illusion. We like to believe that if we have control over our circumstances, we can avoid pain, failure, and uncertainty. We think that by holding tightly to the reins of our lives, we can create the outcomes we want. But life doesn't work that way. The more we try to control things, the more we end up fighting against the flow of life. Letting go of control is about surrendering to the present moment and trusting that life will unfold as it's meant to. Trying to control every aspect of our lives creates stress and anxiety. We become consumed by fear, fear of failure, fear of the unknown, fear of things not turning out the way we want them to. But the truth is, life is unpredictable, and no amount of control can change that. The key to peace is learning to let go and flow with life instead of resisting it. Sarah had always been a control freak, from planning every detail of her day to micromanaging her relationships. She believed that if she just controlled everything, life would be easier. But it wasn't. The more Sarah tried to control, the more she felt trapped in her own life. One day, a close friend told her, "Sarah, you can't control everything, but you can control how you respond to what life throws at you." That was the turning point for Sarah. She started to embrace uncertainty, to trust the process, and to let go of the need to control everything. Slowly, Sarah learned that the more she let go, the more peace she felt. Life became less stressful, and she found herself more open to new possibilities. The key to letting go of control is trust. Trust that the universe, fate, or whatever higher power you believe in has a plan for you. Trust that the challenges you face are not roadblocks, but opportunities for growth. Trust that everything happens for a reason, even if you can't see it right away. The more you trust, the less you need to control. When you let go of the need for control, you allow yourself to experience the flow of life. You stop forcing things and start allowing them to unfold naturally. Letting go of control also means letting go of expectations. We often hold on to expectations about how things should be, how people should behave, and how our lives should unfold. But when we let go of these expectations, we open ourselves up to the possibility that things can be even better than we imagined. Life has a way of surprising us when we stop trying to dictate the outcome. There's freedom in letting go of control. You no longer have to constantly be on alert, trying to fix everything, or worrying about the future. You can simply be present, trusting that life is unfolding exactly as it should. You can focus on the things you can control, your actions, your attitude, and your perspective, and let the rest go. When you feel the urge to control, remind yourself, "I am not in control of everything, and that's okay. I trust that life is unfolding as it should, and I choose to flow with it." Letting go of control is not about being passive. It's about being active in your response to life, choosing to embrace whatever comes your way without resistance. The more you practice letting go of control, the more freedom you'll experience. You'll find yourself more relaxed, more adaptable, and more open to life's possibilities. Imagine yourself standing by a river, watching the water flow effortlessly around rocks and obstacles. You are not trying to force the water to go in a certain direction. You are simply observing, allowing it to flow as it naturally does. That's how life is when you let go of control. You stop fighting against the current and start enjoying the journey. So, release the need to control. Trust in the flow of life and allow it to take you to places you never imagined possible. Let go and let life guide you. Chapter 12. Letting go of perfectionism. Embracing imperfection. Perfectionism is a trap. It's the constant striving for an unattainable ideal, the belief that you must be flawless in every aspect of your life. The truth is, perfection doesn't exist, and the more we chase after it, the more we lose sight of what really matters. Letting go of perfectionism means embracing the beauty of imperfection, acknowledging that mistakes, flaws, and vulnerabilities are what make us human. We live in a world that often celebrates perfection. We see perfect bodies, perfect careers, perfect relationships, and perfect lives on social media. And it's easy to fall into the trap of thinking that we must live up to those ideals. But this pursuit of perfection can be exhausting. It can lead to burnout, frustration, and a sense of inadequacy. The truth is, Perfectionism keeps us from truly living because we are constantly focused on getting everything right, rather than embracing the journey and learning from our experiences. Sophia had always been a perfectionist. She was obsessed with getting everything just right, from her work to her appearance to her relationships. She would often spend hours on a project, tweaking and refining, convinced that it still wasn't good enough. But no matter how much effort she put in, she never felt satisfied. One day, after a particularly stressful week of trying to meet impossible standards, Sophia realized that her obsession with perfection was holding her back from experiencing joy and creativity. She made a decision to let go of the need for everything to be perfect. It wasn't easy, but over time, Sophia learned that imperfection was not only acceptable, it was often more beautiful and authentic than striving for perfection. The more she let go of her perfectionist tendencies, the more she felt free to be herself and to embrace her mistakes as part of the process of growth. Letting go of perfectionism requires a shift in mindset. Instead of focusing on what you can't control, focus on what you can. Instead of worrying about making mistakes, embrace the idea that mistakes are valuable learning opportunities. When you let go of perfectionism, you give yourself permission to be human, to fail, to learn, and to grow. Here are some ways to let go of perfectionism. Accept that mistakes are part of the process. Every successful person has made mistakes along the way. The key is to learn from them, not to avoid them at all costs. Redefine success. Success isn't about being flawless. It's about growth, progress, and the courage to keep going despite setbacks. Embrace your flaws. Your imperfections are what make you unique. They are what make you relatable and human. Don't hide them. Celebrate them. Shift your focus to the process. Instead of fixating on the end result, focus on enjoying the process and the lessons you learn along the way. Let go of comparison. Comparing yourself to others is a surefire way to fuel perfectionism. Remember, everyone is on their own unique journey, and you don't need to measure your success against anyone else's. When you let go of perfectionism, you allow yourself to be more present. You stop stressing over every little detail, and you start embracing the messiness of life. You realize that life isn't about being perfect. It's about being real. It's about showing up, trying your best, and learning from each experience, no matter how imperfect it may seem. Imagine walking through life with the understanding that it's okay not to have everything figured out. You don't need to have all the answers, and you don't need to be perfect. You can make mistakes, laugh at yourself, and grow along the way. This is the freedom that comes with letting go of perfectionism. Letting go of perfectionism is about giving yourself permission to be human. It's about releasing the need for everything to be flawless, and instead, embracing the beauty of imperfection. Life is not about achieving an ideal. It's about experiencing it fully, with all its ups and downs, its messiness, and its beauty. So, let go of perfectionism. Embrace the process, embrace the journey, and most importantly, embrace yourself, flaws and all. Chapter 13. Letting go of fear. Embracing courage. Fear is one of the most powerful emotions we experience as human beings. It can keep us stuck, paralyzed, and trapped in a cycle of self-doubt. Fear keeps us from stepping outside our comfort zone, from pursuing our dreams, and from fully embracing the present moment. But the truth is, fear is not something we should avoid or fight against. It's something we need to understand, face, and ultimately let go of in order to step into our full potential. We all experience fear. Fear of failure, fear of rejection, fear of the unknown. These are all natural, instinctual reactions. But when fear takes control of our lives, it becomes a barrier to growth. The key is to acknowledge the fear, confront it, and take action despite it. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's the ability to move forward, even when fear is present. David had always been afraid of failure. He feared that if he took risks, he would make mistakes and disappoint those around him. This fear held him back for years, preventing him from pursuing his true passions. But one day, David realized that his fear was based on a belief that was no longer serving him. He understood that failure wasn't the end. It was simply part of the journey. With this new perspective, David started taking small steps outside his comfort zone. He started embracing failure as a teacher, rather than something to be feared. Over time, his fear began to lose its grip on him. The more he faced his fear, the less power it had over him. Letting go of fear starts with awareness. Fear thrives in the shadows, in the unknown. When we face it head on, we can see it for what it is. Just a feeling, not a fact. The first step in letting go of fear is to acknowledge it without judgment. Don't try to deny it or push it away. Simply say, "I am feeling afraid, and that's okay." Fear is a natural part of life. Once you acknowledge fear, you can take the next step, taking action. Taking action in the face of fear doesn't mean you won't feel afraid. It means that you're choosing to move forward despite the fear. Each time you face fear and take action, you build your courage and your confidence. It's like a muscle that gets stronger with use. The more you act in spite of fear, the more you realize that fear is not as powerful as it seems. Fear often comes from the unknown. We fear what we cannot control, what we cannot predict. But life is full of uncertainties. The future is unknown, and we cannot control every outcome. But what we can control is how we respond to fear. We can choose to face it, to step into it, and to trust that even if things don't go as planned, we will be okay. We can choose to embrace the uncertainty and take the first step toward what we truly want in life. Here are some strategies for letting go of fear. Identify the root of your fear. Is it the fear of failure? Fear of rejection? Fear of the unknown? Once you identify the source of your fear, you can start to address it directly. Take small steps. You don't have to face your biggest fears all at once. Start with small, manageable steps that gradually push you outside your comfort zone. Shift your mindset. Instead of seeing fear as something to avoid, see it as a sign that you're on the verge of growth. Fear is often a signal that you're about to do something important. Embrace failure as part of the process. Failure is not the opposite of success. It's a part of it. Each failure teaches you something valuable and brings you closer to your goals. Surround yourself with support. Fear can be overwhelming, but having a support system of people who believe in you can help you face it with courage. When you let go of fear, you unlock the door to infinite possibilities. You stop letting fear dictate your choices, and you start making decisions based on what you truly want, not what you're afraid of. You begin to trust yourself and your ability to handle whatever comes your way. Imagine standing at the edge of a cliff, looking out at the vast unknown. Fear grips you, but instead of running away, you take a deep breath and step forward. You embrace the uncertainty, knowing that every step is a step toward personal growth and freedom. You realize that fear is not something to be feared. It's a signal that you're on the right path. So, let go of fear. Embrace courage. Take that first step, no matter how small, and trust that you have everything you need to face whatever comes your way. Chapter 14, Letting Go of Control. Embracing the Flow. One of the biggest obstacles we face in life is our need to control everything around us. We want to control our circumstances, other people, and even the outcomes of our actions. But the truth is, life doesn't work that way. We can't control everything, and the more we try, the more we create unnecessary stress, frustration, and resistance. Letting go of control is not about abandoning responsibility. It's about surrendering to the natural flow of life and accepting that some things are beyond our control. We live in a world where we are constantly trying to control everything. We schedule every minute of our day. We try to predict the future, and we strive to control the actions of others. But no matter how much we plan or how much effort we put into controlling the world around us, we cannot control everything. Life is unpredictable, and that's what makes it beautiful. The more we try to control it, the more we fight against the natural flow of life, creating resistance that only leads to frustration. Maria had always been a control freak. She wanted everything to go according to her plan. Her work, her relationships, her personal life. She spent hours making sure everything was perfect. But no matter how hard she tried, things didn't always go her way. She realized that her constant need for control was causing her stress and anxiety. So, she made a decision to let go. At first, it was hard. She struggled with the idea of surrendering and accepting that she couldn't control everything. But slowly, Maria learned to trust the process. She began to let go of her need for perfection, allowing herself to embrace the uncertainty of life. The more she let go of control, the more at peace she felt. She discovered that when she stopped trying to control everything, life started to flow more smoothly. Letting go of control doesn't mean that you stop taking action or that you abandon your goals. It means accepting that there are some things you cannot control and learning to trust that the universe will unfold as it should. It's about releasing the need to micromanage every detail and allowing things to happen in their own time and way. Here are some ways to let go of control. Accept uncertainty. Life is full of unknowns. Instead of trying to control every outcome, learn to embrace the uncertainty. Trust that things will work out, even if you don't know exactly how. Focus on what you can control. You can't control other people or external circumstances, but you can control your reactions, your mindset, and your actions. Focus on what you can control and let go of the rest. Trust the process. Life has a way of unfolding exactly as it should, even if it's not the way you expected. Trust that the journey is as important as the destination, and that every experience is leading you exactly where you need to go. Practice mindfulness. Mindfulness is the practice of being present in the moment, without trying to control or manipulate it. When you let go of your need to control, you allow yourself to fully experience the present, without judgment or resistance. Let go of perfection. Perfection is an illusion. No matter how hard we try, we can never control every outcome or make every...
Padre, amahus karing how I hold this. Amahus karing how I hold this. Neske kaiseng hang hansa. Ria Tosa Haisi Arms, Ministries Panagas, Aukos, Ami, Sing Hubert Habat or Agast, this is a Huhasa, To Hobane Haisi Amsa, Orisa Sika, Sisadu Tong in, and Ariaun, Sikurisan, Ha, Toraguru. Oh, ne, Ahasi, Tarin Hawaii Hubert, Amatin Amahus, Tim Ahasi, Bibiba. Tarin Aroma, Tarin Hawaii Hukian Hanutin Hu, Timin Kamae, so in Naus, Quisca Ihabe, A Amahin, Oa, Ma, so I Queen Nauska Habe, Evan Aman Uis, Damaska Io, Amaheske, Jose, and Hanuna, Wagao, Ahasi. Tarin Hawaii Huba, Tabatoratas, Hanumas, Hanumas, Quas Koros, Thumbs, Nehusi Piske, Nadi, Ahasiga, Tisera Kain. Hanu onga amahus si haragangagu ovagu hanusi haragu unam marisi si homs harabaa uriehe ha unhasi homas amahus tamaska iyo o amas karing hawain hutiske ngungu was si tamasa masiba unhasi nga a aromabata tare e nestatsning anse iye kari hawain hukya a watadi Toragu Hera, Uip, Mankui, Waini, Kaiban, Amaku, Gay, Sadun, Omisan, Unka, Karin Hawaii, Huban, Unkasta, Sadun, Haungasin, Omisadu, Kwanga, Sisadu, Namibeba, Hauba, Hanu Onga, Ahasika, Murika, Hana Iduka, Suis Kamain, Hanu Onga, Umakuki Hasa, Ainsao, O Nasa, Aw nga si Kai Chris, Karin how I hope abemas, tamas kayo o, kaise, sa tava a tu manesteris peros, sa abe mamas tava, si murire, ata si sen are, sada, Karin how I hope tin uiga, waha, suriku aroman uinsan wa, manesteris ke twis kama I, wa nga I, hoop uiku di, hanu nga amahus, Karin how I hope tis di in, aroma, ere am haba, tide. Ains nga uhari karin hawain huke ain unha adan iba wadan aroma orasa si abosasi uha kangans sa sisen are aroma ne haisi amske marisi mahokas hanu republiki namibia ti si kai are sa republiki twitch group ti bhaka ha twitch group om kansis marikais ka efis nga ua utrisa nga sa ansa tohoba minister Perodi, San Abepa Tudi, Tamaska EO, Haisa Kain Aresperos, Ministries, Hanakas, Aukos, Tim Hook Tabatoragas, Tisa, Saura Tamikwas, Kaina Nani, Tui, Tam Kaina Kaisa, Nani, Kaina Hagastava, Kamibari, Horagan, Harukudi Gay, Sisin Uira, Direkiri Tanira, Hua, Mihe.
Everything flawless. Letting go of perfection allows you to experience life as it is, without trying to fit it into a mold. When you let go of control, you create space for flow. You stop forcing things to happen and start allowing them to unfold naturally. You stop fighting against life and you start moving with it. You realize that life isn't something to be controlled. It's something to be experienced. When you let go, you become more adaptable, more open, and more at peace with the ebb and flow of life. Imagine standing in a river, letting the current carry you. You don't fight the water. Instead, you move with it, allowing it to guide you to where you need to go. You trust that the flow of life will take you where you need to be, and you don't have to control every twist and turn. When you surrender to the flow, you realize that everything is unfolding exactly as it should. So let go of control. Surrender to the flow of life, trust the process, and allow yourself to be carried by the current. Life will take you where you need to go. Chapter 15. Letting go of guilt. Finding peace with yourself. Guilt is a powerful emotion that can weigh heavily on our hearts and minds. It often arises when we feel we've done something wrong or failed to meet our own expectations or those of others. While guilt can sometimes serve as a reminder to make amends or change our behavior, it can also become a trap that holds us back from living fully. Letting go of guilt is not about excusing our mistakes or ignoring our responsibilities. It's about finding peace within ourselves and allowing ourselves to heal. Many people carry guilt for years. Sometimes even for things they have no control over. They dwell on past mistakes, replaying them over and over in their minds, unable to forgive themselves. The more they focus on their guilt, the more it grows, making it difficult to move forward. But the truth is, guilt doesn't serve us in the long run. It keeps us stuck in the past, preventing us from experiencing the present moment and moving toward a better future. James had always struggled with guilt. He felt guilty for decisions he made years ago, decisions that he thought had hurt others. He kept replaying these events in his mind, wishing he could go back and do things differently. But no matter how much he thought about it, he couldn't change the past. One day, James realized that his guilt was not helping anyone. It was only hurting him. He began to understand that letting go of guilt didn't mean he was excusing his mistakes. It meant he was allowing himself the opportunity to heal and move forward. Slowly, James began to forgive himself, accepting that he was doing the best he could with the knowledge and resources he had at the time. The more he forgave himself, the lighter he felt. The burden of guilt began to lift, and he found peace with his past. Letting go of guilt is about shifting your perspective. Instead of dwelling on what you've done wrong, focus on what you can do right moving forward. We all make mistakes. It's part of being human. but we also have the power to learn from those mistakes and grow. When we hold on to guilt, we deny ourselves the opportunity to evolve and move forward. Here are some strategies for letting go of guilt. Acknowledge your mistakes. The first step in letting go of guilt is to acknowledge what you've done. Take responsibility for your actions, but don't beat yourself up about them. Recognize that everyone makes mistakes, and they don't define who you are. Learn from your mistakes. Mistakes are opportunities for growth. Ask yourself what you've learned from the situation and how you can apply that lesson moving forwards. This will help you transform guilt into wisdom. Make amends if necessary. If your actions have hurt someone else, take steps to make things right. Apologize if possible and work toward healing the relationship. Making amends can help release the weight of guilt and allow both you and the other person to move forward. Forgive yourself. Self-forgiveness is essential for letting go of guilt. Understand that you are not defined by your mistakes. You're human, and humans are imperfect. Let go of the belief that you have to be perfect in order to deserve peace. Focus on the present. Guilt keeps us focused on the past, but the present is where we have the power to create change. Let go of the past and focus on what you can do today to live in alignment with your values and make better choices. Practice self-compassion. Treat yourself with the same kindness and understanding that you would offer to a friend who was struggling with guilt. Be gentle with yourself and recognize that you deserve love and forgiveness. When you let go of guilt, you make space for self-compassion, self-acceptance, and healing. You stop being a prisoner of your past, and you start living fully in the present. You realize that mistakes are a natural part of life, and they don't have to define you. You begin to embrace yourself, imperfections, flaws, and all. Imagine standing in front of a mirror and seeing yourself with kindness and compassion. Instead of focusing on your past mistakes, you see the person you are today, someone who is doing their best, learning, growing, and evolving. You realize that you are worthy of peace, love, and forgiveness, and that your past does not determine your future. You are free to let go of guilt and step into a life of self-compassion and growth. So let go of guilt, forgive yourself, learn from your mistakes, and focus on the present moment. You are not defined by your past, but by the choices you make today. Chapter 16, Letting Go of Fear. Embracing Courage. Fear is one of the most powerful emotions we experience as humans. It can paralyze us, holding us back from taking risks, pursuing our dreams, or stepping into the unknown. Fear can make us doubt ourselves and our abilities, keeping us stuck in a cycle of inaction and self-doubt. But what if we could learn to let go of our fear, not by avoiding it or suppressing it, but by embracing it and moving forward despite it? Fear is a natural part of life. It's our body's response to danger or uncertainty, a primal instinct that's meant to protect us. But in today's world, most of our fears are not life-threatening. They are often fears of failure, rejection, or the unknown. While these fears can feel very real, they are often based on imagined scenarios or past experiences that no longer serve us. Ava had always been afraid of failure. She feared that if she tried something new, she would fail and disappoint those around her. This fear kept her from pursuing her passions and taking risks. She played it safe, staying in her comfort zone, even though she felt unfulfilled. One day, Ava realized that her fear was holding her back from living the life she truly wanted. She decided to face her fear head on. She started small, taking little risks that felt uncomfortable but manageable. With each small step, her confidence grew. She realized that the fear she felt wasn't as powerful as she had once thought. It was only when she started moving forward that she realized how much freedom there was on the other side of fear. Letting go of fear doesn't mean that fear will disappear entirely. It's not about eliminating fear. It's about learning to move forward in spite of it. Fear will always be there, But we don't have to let it control us. We have the power to choose how we respond to fear. Instead of letting it hold us back, we can use it as fuel to propel us forward. Here are some strategies for letting go of fear. Acknowledge your fear. The first step in letting go of fear is to acknowledge it. Instead of denying or avoiding your fear, face it directly. Understand what you are afraid of and why. This awareness will help you gain control over the fear instead of letting it control you. Shift your perspective. Fear often arises from focusing on worst-case scenarios. Try shifting your perspective and focusing on the potential rewards of taking action instead of the risks. Ask yourself, what's the best that could happen? This can help you reframe the fear and make it less intimidating. Take small steps. You don't have to face your biggest fear all at once. Start with small steps that feel manageable. As you take action, you'll build confidence and prove to yourself that you are capable of handling fear. Embrace uncertainty. Fear often arises when we are uncertain about the future. Instead of trying to predict every outcome, embrace the uncertainty and trust that you can handle whatever comes your way. Life is unpredictable, and that's where the magic happens. Visualize success. Imagine yourself succeeding in whatever it is you're afraid to do. Visualizing success can help reduce fear by making the outcome feel more attainable. Picture yourself taking action with confidence and achieving the results you desire. Take action despite fear. The most powerful way to overcome fear is to take action anyway. Action creates momentum, and momentum helps dispel fear. Even if you're afraid, take the first step. With each step, fear loses its grip on you. When you let go of fear, you make space for courage. You stop waiting for the fear to disappear and start moving forward despite it. You begin to trust yourself and your ability to handle challenges. You realize that fear is not something to be avoided, but something to be worked through. Imagine standing at the edge of a cliff, looking down at the vast unknown. Your heart races, your palms sweat, and fear rises up inside you. But instead of retreating, you take a deep breath and leap. As you fall through the air, you feel a sense of freedom. Freedom that comes from facing your fear and moving forward despite it. You realize that fear was never the enemy. It was simply a signal that you were about to do something important. Something that would help you grow. So, let go of fear. Acknowledge it, face it, and take action anyway. Embrace the unknown and trust that you have the strength to handle whatever comes your way. On the other side of fear is a life of courage, growth, and possibility. Letting go of perfectionism. Embracing imperfection. Perfectionism is a trap that keeps us constantly striving for an unattainable ideal. It can lead to frustration, self-doubt, and a constant feeling of not being good enough. Letting go of perfectionism means accepting that mistakes are part of the journey, and that growth comes through imperfection. We don't have to be perfect to be worthy or successful. Embrace your flaws, learn from your mistakes, and let go of the need to be flawless. Letting go of control, finding freedom and surrender. Control is an illusion. We can't control everything that happens in our lives, and trying to do so can lead to stress, anxiety, and burnout. Letting go of control means accepting that life is unpredictable and surrendering to the flow of things. It's about trusting that things will unfold as they should, and learning to adapt and find peace with whatever comes our way. When we stop trying to control everything, we find freedom and ease in life. Letting go of resentment. Healing old wounds. Resentment is a poison that keeps us tied to the past, often hurting us more than the people we hold grudges against. Letting go of resentment involves forgiveness, not for the sake of the other person, but for our own healing. It's about releasing the grip that past hurts have on us so we can move forward with peace. Letting go of resentment frees us to live fully in the present and find emotional freedom. Letting go of the need for approval. embracing self-worth. Many of us seek validation and approval from others, but this external approval can be fleeting and unreliable. Letting go of the need for approval means finding our sense of worth from within. It's about understanding that we are enough just as we are, without needing others' approval to feel worthy. When we stop seeking approval, we tap into our true self and unlock our full potential. Letting go of the past. Living in the present. The past can hold us back if we continue to dwell on old mistakes, regrets, or memories. Letting go of the past means releasing the grip it has on our lives so we can fully embrace the present moment. When we let go of the past, we create space for growth, new experiences, and the opportunity to live more fully. Life is happening now. Don't let the past steal your present joy. Letting go of the future. Trusting the journey. Constantly worrying about the future can lead to anxiety and a lack of peace. Letting go of the future involves trusting the journey and knowing that we can handle whatever comes our way. Instead of focusing on what might happen, we focus on what's happening now and trust that things will unfold as they should. By letting go of the need to control the future, we can experience peace and presence in the present moment. Letting go of the ego. Embracing humility. The ego can be a source of pride, fear, and insecurity. It often keeps us attached to our self-image and prevents us from growing. Letting go of the ego means stepping into humility, recognizing that we are part of something larger than ourselves. It's about letting go of the need to prove ourselves and accepting that we don't need validation from others. Embrace humility, and you'll discover the freedom that comes from letting go of ego-driven thoughts and behaviors. Letting go of expectations. Finding peace with what is. Expectations often lead to disappointment and frustration when reality doesn't meet our desires. Letting go of expectations means accepting life as it is, without trying to control the outcome. By releasing our expectations, we open ourselves to greater peace and acceptance. We stop resisting what is and start embracing the present moment as it is. Letting go of self-doubt. Believing in your potential. Self-doubt is a barrier that prevents us from fully stepping into our potential. Letting go of self-doubt means trusting in our abilities, believing in our worth, and knowing that we are capable of achieving great things. When we release self-doubt, we open the door to self-confidence and inner strength, allowing us to pursue our goals with clarity and conviction. Letting go of limitations. Unlocking your full potential. We often impose limitations on ourselves, either consciously or unconsciously, based on past experiences or fears. Letting go of limitations means breaking free from these mental barriers and realizing that we are capable of much more than we think. It's about shifting our mindset, embracing possibilities, and moving beyond self-imposed boundaries. When we let go of limitations, we tap into our true potential and unlock new opportunities for growth and success. Letting go of the need to be right. Embracing openness. The need to be right can cause conflict, stress, and disconnection in relationships. Letting go of the need to be right means embracing openness, listening to others, and being willing to learn. It's about realizing that being right isn't as important as being understanding and compassionate. When we let go of the need to always be right, we foster deeper connections and create more harmonious interactions with others. Letting go of the past self. Evolving into who you are meant to be. Our past selves can sometimes hold us back from becoming the person we are meant to be. Letting go of the past self means releasing old identities, beliefs, and patterns that no longer serve us. It's about allowing ourselves to evolve, grow, and become who we are truly meant to be. When we let go of the past self, we embrace the freedom of transformation and the possibility of creating a new future. Letting go is not about giving up. It's about choosing peace over resistance, presence over worry, and growth over stagnation. It's about releasing the burdens we've carried for far too long. Old wounds, toxic beliefs, the need for control, and the fear of the unknown. When we let go, we make space for something greater. Clarity, freedom, purpose, and deep inner peace. This journey is not linear, and it's not always easy, but every step you take is a powerful act of self-love. You're not losing yourself by letting go. You're finding yourself. You're shedding layers that never belonged to you and stepping into the person you were always meant to be. Remember, healing is a process, not a destination. Forgive yourself for not knowing better in the past. Trust yourself to move forward with courage. You deserve to live unburdened, to wake up without the weight of yesterday on your shoulders. You deserve to breathe fully, to laugh deeply, to love without fear. So take a deep breath, let go, and step boldly into your new beginning. Your life is waiting. Thank you for listening to The Art of Letting Go. If this message touched your heart, share it with someone who needs it. Remember, your peace begins the moment you choose to let go. Until next time, stay present, stay grounded, and stay free.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nao nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa ninge kwa Fanona, Monica, Co, Eagle FM, Honora Tatime, Bali Heali, Nola Natu, Heali Bali, No Heali, Ileko, Berewa, Nora Hetatu, Natu, Bali, O Hetatu, Batatu, Oma Filane, Eagle FM, The Eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, The Eye.
Lipura nenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa ninge kwata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora itatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali Ileko Berewa, Nora Hetatu Natu, Bali O Hetatu Batatu, Oma Filane, Eagle FM, The Eye.
Alrighty, so after we let things go and after we let things unwind and after we let it all go, then what happens to people around us? How do we now deal with people that are going to be within our vicinity, within a space where we have to exist with them, we have to coexist with them, we have to be here on earth with others? How are we going to do that? And the theory by Mel Robbins is let them. Allow them to be who they want to be. Allow them to do what they want to do. Allow them, right? Because you can't make anybody do anything that they don't want to do. That's the fact. And we might say that, yeah, but I can do that to my kids. Like, yeah, sure. But it still lands as, we don't want to do it. We are not going to do it. But how do we just let people be who they are. How do we allow that? Because first of all, we have to change the language. We can't allow anybody to do anything because it's not within our rights. It's not us. What we can do, especially when there is something as negative and impacting their lives in a negative manner, what we can do is persuade them. We can try and encourage them. But at the end of the day, every single choice is theirs. It's not ours to make. We make our own choices for our own lives. We work on ourselves, because that's the only person that we can work on. We can't make anybody. You can take the horse to the water, but you can't make it drink. No matter what, you can't make it drink. It will close its mouth. It will wander in the water. It will not. But how are we going to do that? We're going to learn how to let them. All right. This is Mel Robbins, and this is the Let Them Theory.
Welcome to Book Navigator, your go-to destination for powerful book summaries that transform your life. Oakley's annoyed about curfew? Let him. The neighbor's dog won't stop barking? Let it. These weren't just annoyances. They were training grounds for peace. Every time she said let them, she found herself detaching from drama. She stopped being triggered, and she got her brain space back. The lesson is this. You can't stop the rain.
Oke, selamat datang kembali. Hari ini kita mau coba.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the only person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipurane ngeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuwana. Onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi todae njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu kwa ndado ili nawa. Nune udon otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayolo.
The Book of Letting Go, published by Nas Life. During times of unexpected challenges, when unfortunate events occur, and when we feel dissatisfied with our circumstances, it is common to question, why is this happening to me? It's challenging to find a straightforward solution to this universal question. In order to embrace the challenges that everyone encounters, it is important to adopt a fresh perspective and consider timeless truths. This means approaching life's fundamental principles in a similar manner to how mathematicians approach mathematics. Navigators approach navigation, chemists approach chemistry, and electricians approach electricity. They understand that it moves from a higher to a lower potential. They acquire knowledge about conductivity and insulation. They install the wiring in your house. Lesson 1. Why is this happening to me? Your mind functions as a guiding principle. So, you believe in looking inward to find guidance from a higher power. Consider things that are true, just, lovely, pure, honest, and of good report. Focus your thoughts on these things. True understanding arises when you approach your thoughts from the perspective of the divine within. There exists a principle of harmony, not of discord. A principle of beauty, not ugliness. A principle of joy, not sadness. A principle of love, not hate. A principle of wholeness and perfection. There is no principle of sickness. No one in the entire world could ever be healed if there were no simple and easy to understand solutions. Understand that when your thoughts are devoid of fear and worry, you are considering things from the perspective of the divine center within you, and God communicates, thinks, and acts through you. Thus your words are filled with wisdom, truth, and beauty. They bring about harmony, health, and peace. So it seems that you believe, thus originating from the divine core within. Many individuals fail to engage in critical thinking. Many people fail to engage in critical thinking. Instead, they mistakenly believe they are engaging in it. True thinking, specifically constructive thinking, is completely free from fear. Fear stems from external factors that have a causal effect. Externals are the result, not the root cause. It's important to keep in mind that if we don't think for ourselves, others will do the thinking for us. Why let someone else choose your mood when you have the power to decide for yourself? What about newspapers? Can you please provide more information about the headlines you are referring to? What about the collective consciousness? Everyone has their own perspective. We all share a collective consciousness. We all have the ability to communicate with each other telepathically. Everyone in this world is connected to us in some way. Thus, if you fail to engage in constructive, harmonious, and peaceful thinking, the collective consciousness of humanity will take charge of your thoughts. And the collective consciousness believes in tragedy, misfortune, sickness, disease, accidents, and it engages in hate, murder, and various other actions. Is that the type of mindset you desire to have, guiding your thoughts and influencing you? That's the result of not engaging in critical thinking. These negative vibrations or thoughts of the mass mind can affect you and manifest as accidents, misfortunes, sickness, or disease. There are unfortunate incidents happening in mines and aeroplane crashes on a regular basis. People are not inherently evil or bad just because unfortunate events occur, such as submarines sinking, floods in cities, or accidents causing harm to children. Similarly, explosions in factories and other incidents happen as well. There is a significant loss of life. It is important to maintain a consistent prayer practice. Maintain a strong spiritual connection by focusing your mind on the truths of God, which will help eliminate any thoughts that are not aligned with God. Do not dwell on the past or reminisce about old things. Instead, focus on what matters most to me. Leave the past behind and focus on what lies ahead. I am determined to reach the goal and win the prize. The Bible teaches that our actions have consequences. If we choose to cultivate positive thoughts of peace, harmony, health, beauty, and prosperity, we will experience the corresponding outcomes. On the other hand, if we allow negative thoughts of sickness, lack, strife, and contention to take root, we will inevitably face the repercussions of these choices. It's important to keep in mind that our subconscious mind is similar to soil. Whatever seed we plant in the garden of our mind, it will grow. We plant thoughts according to biblical teachings when we wholeheartedly embrace them. Your subconscious mind will manifest whatever your conscious mind truly believes, regardless of its accuracy. If you don't think for yourself, you'll be influenced by the collective mindset, which tends to focus on negativity like misfortune, sickness, calamities, and tragedies. It is important for you to engage in independent thinking. Clear thinking is devoid of fear, worry, and anxiety, as it originates from the divine center within. When you align your thoughts with God's, you tap into the power of positive thinking. So, you never ask someone, what were you thinking about so intensely? Perhaps they had no complex ideas at all. Perhaps they didn't engage in any personal prayers, and they responded, I am willing to accept whatever happens. Thus, the global consciousness acknowledges the existence of various illnesses and diseases. If you don't take the time to clear your mind, nobody else will do it for you. What is the impact on a home when you are absent for a period of 3 or 4 months? Unwanted rodents and insects make their way inside. Everything in the house goes wrong as the paint peels off the walls, making it uninhabitable. Just like you cleanse your body, it's important to also cleanse your mind. Regular shampooing is important to maintain cleanliness and clarity. Our subconscious mind has the power to manifest whatever we truly believe. A chaplain at a hospital in Massachusetts shared that she often encountered patients who expressed frustration with their circumstances, questioning why they had to go through such difficulties. Why is this happening to me? What could be the reason for God's anger towards me? Why am I being punished by God? I attend church regularly and strive to be charitable and kind-hearted. I can't help but wonder if I've unknowingly done something wrong, which may be the cause of my illness. The law of life is tied to our beliefs. What we believe shapes our reality and influences how we live. It's important to have faith in the goodness of God and maintain a positive outlook. Trusting in God's guidance, harmony, and healing power can bring us inner peace and make us feel whole, pure, relaxed, and perfect. The chaplain shared that she often prayed with patients and helped them transform their beliefs. By recognizing the spiritual nature of their bodies and shifting their thoughts, they were able to diminish the power of illness. She taught them a prayer that went like this: "The infinite healing presence flows through me as harmony, health, peace, wholeness, and perfection. I feel the presence of God's healing love in every part of my being. I am made whole, pure, relaxed, and perfect." She taught them to repeat this prayer frequently, knowing what they were doing and why they were doing it. Thus, the conscious mind was writing these truths down in their subconscious. Whatever you impress or inscribe in your subconscious will come to pass as form, function, experience, and events. As a result of this, many patients made miraculous recoveries. The law of life is the law of belief. If you fear sickness, you attract it. So, the law of the Lord is perfect. You can't think one thing and produce another. The law of life is the law of belief. Trouble of any kind is nature's alarm system that we are thinking wrongly in that direction. Nothing but a change of thought can set us free. There is a law of cause and effect operating at all times. Nothing happens to man without his mental consent and participation. You do not have to think of an accident to have it befall you. Haven't you seen a man driving a car careening in and out, drunk? You said, "There goes an accident." Why, there's a mind behind it. There's a mood. There's an emotion behind the wheel. There's always a mind behind it. Is that mind disturbed? Is that mind emotionally disturbed? If you are emotionally disturbed, it affects your vision. You don't see so well. In companies where workers have dogmatic and domineering bosses, resentment of the boss leads to negative thoughts in the worker's mind, which results in carelessness and accidents. Misfortune, accidents, and tragedies of various kinds are signs of mental and emotional disorders that have broken out into manifestation. We must train our minds to think in a new way, to turn back to God and align our thoughts and mental imagery with the infinite life, love, truth, and beauty of God. Then we become channels for the divine. Still your mind several times a day and affirm slowly, quietly, and lovingly, "God flows through me as harmony, health, peace, joy, wholeness, and perfection. I am a vessel for God's presence and communication. I always feel the presence of God's spell. I am guided by God's wisdom in every aspect of my life, no matter where I am. The power of divine right action prevails. Everything I do brings joy and tranquility. I am embraced by the boundless love of God, which envelops and encompasses me. I am a vessel for God's presence and communication. I'm surrounded by the sacred circle of God's eternal love, and the whole armor of God surrounds me." As you dwell on these eternal verities, you will establish patterns of divine order in your subconscious mind, and whatever you impress in the subconscious mind is expressed on the screen of space. Therefore, you will find yourself watched over at all times by an overshadowing presence, your Heavenly Father, who responds to you when you call upon Him. The Bible says, "Call upon me, I will answer you, I'll be with you in trouble. I'll set you on high because you hath known my name." Now all of us should learn how the subjective self in us works. One of the great corollaries of the great law of suggestion is this: whatever you suggest to another, you are also suggesting to yourself. When you are giving a suggestion to another, you are giving it to yourself, because you are the only thinker in your universe, and you respond to the way you think. Whatever you are wishing for the other person, you are wishing for yourself. You are always under the law of your own thought. This is the basis of the Golden Rule, which also tells you to treat your enemies well, to pray for them that despitefully use you. In other words, never dwell on ill will for anyone or against any person on the face of the earth. You do so at your own peril, because whatever you are thinking about the other, you are creating in your own mind, your body, your circumstances, your pocketbook also. That's a simple truth. Radiate love, peace, and goodwill to everybody. Don't judge. With what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. Your judgment of the other is your judgment of yourself. That's the conclusion, that's your verdict in your own mind. Many people suffer from sickness, disease, accidents and misfortune because they do not think constructively. They are letting the mass mind, or the race mind, or the law of averages govern them. They're not bad people, but they refuse to think for themselves. They do not keep prayed up. They do not neutralize the mass mind. You know very well if you read the newspapers in the morning and listen to the radio or TV at night, what do you hear about? Murder, rape, hate, jealousy, and all sorts of misfortune seem to happen to people. They tell you about all the bad things that have happened. They don't tell you about any of the good things. Well, likewise, if you do not keep prayed up, if you do not think for yourself, the mass mind does your thinking for you. Therefore, you must ask yourself, am I thinking constructively, harmoniously, peacefully? Of course, you answer that question yourself. You are what you think all day long. For as we think in out-heart, subconscious mind, so we are, so do we become, and so do we express. That's the whole law. Whatever you sow in your mind, so shall you reap. All of us are in the mass mind, the race mind, the great psychic sea. The mass mind believes in sickness, accidents, death, misfortune, and tragedies of all kinds. If we do not do our own thinking, the mass mind, the race mind, will do our thinking for us. Gradually, the thoughts of the mass mind impinging on our consciousness may reach a point of saturation and precipitate as accident, sudden illness, calamity, heart attack, so-called tragedies that happen in the air, the sea. The majority of people do not think. They think they think. You are thinking when you differentiate between that which is false and that which is real. To think is to choose. How many people are thinking? You have the capacity to say yes and no. Let your conversation be yea, yea, and no, no. You say yes to the truth of being, and you reject everything unlike God or the truth. If the mental instrument could not choose, you would not be an individual. You have the ability to accept and reject. You can think on whatsoever things are true, lovely, noble, and godlike all day long. There is nothing in the entire world to stop you from thinking constructively, harmoniously, and peacefully. You are thinking when you know that there is an infinite intelligence which responds to your thoughts, and that no matter what the problem is, as you think about a divine solution and the happy ending, you will find the subjective wisdom within you, responding to you and revealing to you the perfect plan and show you the way to go. Everywhere you move today, suggestions of people in your office, in your home, radio, television and all that, or the neighbors, their thoughts and their moods are playing upon the subtle receptivity of your mind. Whether you know it or not, these impressions are going down into your mind and muddling it and befouling it. If a building were left unattended for any length of time, you know what would happen to it. You have to give attention to what is true, what is noble, and what is of God. Over the years, I have had many people with medical problems come to me for advice. Some have truly serious problems, others are trivial. In any case, I strongly recommend their seeking professional medical help. I am not a doctor, nor am I a healer, in the sense that the prophet Elisha, Jesus, and others have been. But often, I find that the true problem is not medical, but spiritual. One of the strangest cases brought to my attention was that of a woman who had suffered a series of illnesses over a period of time. She told me, "God has it in for me, I'm a sinner. This is why I'm being punished." She also told me that she went to a man who hypnotized her, read her past. He attributed her illnesses to a life she had previously lived in, which she had been an evil person who had harmed many people. As she had not been punished in that life, she was now suffering for the sins she had committed then. Of course, that was nonsense. It only made things worse. I explained to her an age-old truth. There is but one power called God, the living Spirit Almighty. Not two or three or a thousand. It is the creative intelligence in all of us that created us. This power becomes to us what we believe it to be. To the forward I am forward, to the pure I am pure. If you think and believe there is a God of love, then the God of love will respond to you and become a loving being to you. If you think that God is punishing you, that you must suffer, according to your thought and belief it is done unto you. But in reality, you are punishing yourself. As the Bible says, it is done unto him as he believes. For as a man thinketh in his heart or subconscious mind, so is he, so does he be.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura, and I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwepo tite okoye ekukulile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshe faa omarudi tayo loka opone ushe indife nawa nukumuna oijamo ili nawa ninge fata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ileko berewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Inner Child Wound Healing, written and published by NGAS Life. We all have an inner child within us, a part of ourselves that experienced both happiness and sadness as we grew up. As we age, we often lose touch with our inner child and the pure essence that resides within us. When our inner child is neglected or wounded, it can have a significant impact on our emotional well-being and our ability to find happiness as adults. This book is designed to assist readers in reconnecting with and nurturing their inner child, fostering a sense of lightness and tranquility. By engaging in a series of lessons and reflections, you will gain the knowledge and tools to nurture your inner child, gain insight into the origins of your pain, and cultivate greater self-love and compassion. The lessons explore a range of topics, including managing difficult emotions, living compassionately, embracing curiosity and creativity, overcoming fear, and more. Every lesson provides valuable insights into the psychology of our inner child, along with practical exercises that can easily be incorporated into your daily routine. Discovering your inner child can bring you motivation, tranquility, and inspiration, tranquility, and inspiration. Lesson 1. Healing Our Inner Child Wound. Our inner child represents the part of us that holds our childhood experiences, emotions, and memories. Inner child wounds develop when we face difficult or traumatic situations in childhood that cause emotional pain. Examples include experiencing neglect, abuse, loss, family dysfunction, bullying, or not getting our emotional needs met. These painful experiences get internalized, and the inner child carries them forward, influencing our perspectives and behaviors even into adulthood. Since the inner child feels vulnerable and unsafe due to past hurts, it can react or cope in unhealthy ways like avoidance, perfectionism, people-pleasing, or self-sabotage. Healing our inner child involves revisiting these old wounds with compassion, processing the difficult emotions attached to them, and learning to meet the inner child's unfulfilled needs through self-love and care. Inner child work is a powerful way to address lingering pain and transform negative patterns into healthy functioning and self-acceptance. We have the power to change the course of our lives, no matter our age or current situation. It's always possible to pursue forgotten dreams, mend broken relationships, cultivate better habits, or gain understanding of our destructive patterns. By mustering bravery and determination, we have the ability to consistently embrace change and begin afresh. Hope never fades, even when others or ourselves have lost faith. All it takes is a clear vision and the courage to take that initial step towards a better future. If we pay attention, we can hear the constant invitation to improve ourselves. Regardless of how much we've struggled, there is always a chance for redemption if we are open to change. Healing our inner child wounds is a process that takes time and understanding. There are various factors that contribute to the duration. These wounds have their roots in childhood and have developed over a long period of time. They become deeply embedded in our subconscious minds and shape our self-image. Reversing these ingrained patterns requires consistent effort over a long period of time. Immediate solutions are improbable. When we tap into repressed memories, it's common to experience painful emotions such as shame, anger, grief, and abandonment. It is important to take the time to fully process these emotions, even though it may be difficult. We should prioritize nurturing ourselves with love, care, and empathy. Mastering the art of addressing our unmet childhood needs in a straightforward and comprehensible manner requires dedication and repetition. Being fully present can sometimes be a challenge. Life can sometimes bring up things that remind us of past pain. Healing involves a cyclical process of recognizing triggers, working through reactivated pain, and incorporating the lessons learned. Every cycle enhances our healing process. It's important to show patience and understanding towards ourselves when we slip back into old coping mechanisms. Understanding progress can be challenging. As we go through the healing process, we gradually uncover the various layers of wounds and defense mechanisms. Unraveling each layer requires a certain level of introspection, bravery, and patience. Our brains require time and repetition to strengthen new neural pathways that can override our ingrained trauma responses. Inner child work can lead to significant transformations, but it requires giving ourselves enough time and space for lasting change to occur. Every little progress we make brings us closer to finding inner peace. Tim believed he had everything under control. A thriving career, comfortable home, and vibrant social life. However, deep down, he experienced a sense of emptiness and dissatisfaction without being able to identify the cause. Everything became clear when a breakdown at work occurred. The overwhelming pressure, isolation, and sense of emptiness reached a tipping point. Tim began therapy in the hopes of gaining clarity. During sessions, Tim's therapist assisted him in uncovering the underlying causes of his problems, which stemmed from emotional neglect and criticism during his childhood. Due to his parents' busy schedules, he frequently found himself in solitude. Whenever they were around, their constant motivation was to push Tim to go above and beyond. Tim came to the realization that he had deeply ingrained the belief that he was always inadequate. As a result, he developed a tendency towards perfectionism, working excessively and withdrawing from others instead of allowing himself to be open and vulnerable. Tim realized he was neglecting the unfulfilled needs of his inner child. Tim discovered the power of counseling, which helped him develop self-compassion and nurture his inner child. He pictured himself as a young boy and thought, "I am present in this moment. I wholeheartedly embrace and cherish you." Tim found joy in engaging in hobbies, forming connections with others, and embracing moments of relaxation. Over time, Tim experienced a growing sense of stability, completeness, and tranquility. Tim was able to break free from the shackles of his past and embrace a life that truly reflected his authentic self. He came to the realization that while the past is unchangeable, rediscovering his inner child has the potential to shape his future in a profound way. Lesson 2. We all get lost in our heads from time to time. Getting caught up in our own thoughts can often lead to feeling disconnected from the present moment. When we engage in deep thinking, imaginative pondering, or worry-filled storytelling, we find solace in the inner realm of our thoughts. Excessive or habitual private contemplation can lead to problems. We often fail to fully experience the events unfolding around us, causing strain in our relationships and neglecting our responsibilities. Nevertheless, It requires bravery to recognize these unhelpful thought patterns and intentionally shift our focus back outward. Being reminded of our mental absence can sometimes be uncomfortable. However, individuals who are open to receiving feedback without becoming defensive can gain valuable perspective. Through practice, we can consistently navigate our thoughts and prevent ourselves from getting lost for extended periods of time. Developing this skill of self-awareness can greatly enhance one's experience of life. Although we are naturally inclined to prioritize our own interests, many of us genuinely care about matters beyond ourselves. You can easily find evidence of this desire to contribute to society by looking within. Does witnessing people supporting one another evoke an emotional response within you? Are you bothered by inequality or injustice? Do you consider community and connection when you imagine your ideal future? Whenever we contribute to charity, offer our time as volunteers, or lend a helping hand to a friend, we showcase our innate desire to be involved in something significant. Naturally, it's quite common to become absorbed in our own concerns and aspirations on a daily basis. However, engaging in self-reflection uncovers the presence of altruistic motivations bubbling beneath the surface. These community-oriented aspirations often get overlooked because we may feel discouraged or too busy to prioritize them. However, if we pay attention to our inner desires, we'll realize that we not only want to benefit ourselves, but also to make a positive impact on others. Understanding and embracing this purpose is crucial for a fulfilling life. Lesson 3. There's always time left to become a better person. Self-improvement is something that can be pursued at any stage of life. Regardless of the uncertainty or limitations of our remaining time in life, there is still the chance to grow in wisdom and compassion. Reflecting on our limited time on earth can serve as a valuable reminder to seize every opportunity. Reflecting on your funeral prompts deep thought about the impact you wish to have on the world. Would you like to leave a lasting impression of compassion? Is it ethical, courageous, understanding the inevitability of death motivates us to prioritize living by our core principles? Now is the perfect moment to repair damaged relationships, correct past mistakes, explore new things, and communicate unspoken truths. When we have a limited amount of time left, it becomes clearer and gives us more courage to make sure our actions match our intentions. We have the opportunity.
Ritavazende kize imba izwezipiri loyekeleze mikwaye nguyencha kukona kunolofaza kwankufisa hamocholo ni mata amskavona kale kana mitukselize kubona msevelezo wa imba ye mufumane lisevelezo zezwezipiri ze ka kulipa fela mashilling ali kana 36 na mibian dollars ka kweli kapa kama mikwaye kutesa fasi ye tatama 5% machipisa hamngo tsari kweli ze talu 10% machipisa hamngo tsari kweli ze sirela 25% machipisa hamngo tsari kweli ze shimiteri muketeri kweli zo movata kulimukone kukala kuikola zende zeo imba imiswalezi fama chipisa. Imba, toku vukani fasi kaufela. Mwipe kwa lisevelezo za imba kachenu kulimukone kuikola zende kaufela.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
To shape our own path in this transient existence. Regularly contemplating our desired legacy can serve as a compass, leading us to live more fulfilling and purposeful lives. Time is always passing, but the chance for personal development is limitless. Sometimes, our emotions can feel much stronger than what the situation calls for. When we experience frustration, hurt, or anger, it can be helpful to take a moment to reflect on whether our emotions are in line with the actual facts of the situation. For instance, if you experience intense disappointment due to a minor plan change or hold on to resentment for an extended period following a small criticism, your emotional reaction exceeds what is considered reasonable. If a minor inconvenience triggers such a strong anger response, it may be disproportionate to the situation. Whenever you find yourself feeling intense emotions, Simply pause, take a deep breath, and ask yourself, is this reaction appropriate for the situation? This provides a clear understanding of the situation. If you find that your emotions are larger than expected, acknowledge this discrepancy and seek to comprehend its origin. By practicing, you can gradually develop the ability to manage your emotions by comparing them to the facts. Proportionality checks ensure that emotions are appropriately matched to the situation, avoiding unnecessary exaggeration. Stella found herself trapped in repetitive patterns of defensiveness, jealousy, and anger that put a strain on her relationships. Despite her efforts to improve, she consistently found herself falling back into old patterns of reacting and sabotaging herself. She believed she would continue to engage in these harmful behaviors indefinitely, feeling sorrow for the impact of her difficult upbringing. Stella's parents went through a difficult divorce when she was young, which left her feeling abandoned and insecure. She dealt with her emotions by isolating herself from others and reacting with anger, a pattern that continued into her adult years. Stella's realization of life's brevity due to a health scare prompted her to embark on a profound transformation. She started therapy to delve into her past, engaging in self-reflection to gain insight into her emotional pain and what sets it off. Stella acquired techniques to effectively manage her emotional responses and make thoughtful decisions. Despite the gradual pace, she found joy in her small accomplishments. Stella had her sights set on the person she aspired to be, rather than dwelling on her current self. She dedicated time to envisioning herself as a person who is more patient, trusting, and peaceful. Over time, Stella's behaviors improved as her inner child healed. She developed a sense of self-assurance in being open and honest. Stella discovered her ability to reshape her narrative and transform into her most authentic and fulfilled version, regardless of the passage of time. She was always capable of making a change, regardless of her circumstances or age. Stella observed the path that lay before her, but remained optimistic as she embarked on her journey. Armed with compassion and unwavering determination, she was prepared to become the person she had always aspired to be. Lesson 4. Living compassion means being fair, transparent, and accountable. Genuine compassion goes beyond mere sentiment. It necessitates aligning caring intentions with tangible actions. When extending compassion to others, it's important to ensure fairness, transparency, and accountability. For instance, when assisting someone in need, it's important to ensure fairness and avoid any unfair advantages or disadvantages for different groups. We should prioritize transparency and sincerity in our actions, avoiding any hidden intentions or secret motives. It is important to fulfill our commitments in a responsible manner and be accountable for the results. Understanding and practicing compassion involves more than just saying kind words. It requires embodying ethical behavior. Whether it's in our everyday interactions or when addressing global challenges, striving for fairness, transparency, and accountability is crucial. It ensures that our concern for others is expressed in practical and long-lasting ways, rather than mere superficial gestures. We can spread dignity and justice by extending compassion with mindful intention. In order to effectively pursue greater joy and fulfillment in life, it is crucial to have a clear understanding of the true meaning of happiness. A lot of people confuse temporary pleasure or superficial highs with true, long-lasting happiness. Happiness is actually not dependent on external factors. It arises from finding inner peace, having a sense of purpose, and living a meaningful life, aspects that are less influenced by external circumstances. Unless we acknowledge that true happiness comes from within, we will find ourselves pursuing shallow pleasures or accomplishments that ultimately fail to fulfill us. It is important to delve beyond cultural clichés and explore what truly brings us genuine and lasting happiness. This self-reflection allows us to refocus on what truly matters: relationships, personal growth, community, and self-care. Understanding what truly matters to the human spirit helps us make wiser choices. Our lives are filled with simple and easily understandable joys. Spending time with loved ones, appreciating nature, and feeling proud of our accomplishments. Understanding the conditions for inner happiness allows us to better nurture it. We often overlook the influence of our thought patterns on our happiness, despite their significant impact. Take the concept of all-or-nothing thinking, which creates unrealistic extremes that distort our perception of reality. Overgeneralization occurs when isolated incidents are used as evidence that improvement is impossible. Imagining negatives without any basis is unnecessary. Imposing shoulds on ourselves can lead to unrealistic expectations and ultimately disappointment. By being aware of these and other unhelpful thought patterns when they occur, we can identify them and intentionally change our mindset. By consistently questioning negative viewpoints and embracing a more balanced and constructive mindset, we can cultivate hope rather than succumbing to despair. The way we perceive and interpret our circumstances has a significant impact on our reality. Understanding and recognizing unhealthy thought patterns empowers us to take control of our experience and paves the way for long-lasting happiness. Lesson 5. Tranquility comes from learning to be mindful. Amidst the chaos of our daily lives, finding inner peace can be a challenge. However, by embracing mindfulness, we can rediscover a sense of tranquility. Instead of rushing through each moment without thinking, mindfulness helps us focus on our experiences in a receptive and non-critical manner. By fully immersing ourselves in the present moment and embracing our senses, we can let go of worries about the future and regrets from the past. We discover peace and serenity in the beauty of everyday moments. Relishing the taste of tea, engaging in meaningful conversations, and grounding ourselves with each step we take. By incorporating mindfulness into our daily routines, we can cultivate a sense of inner calm that helps us navigate the challenges of life. By consistently focusing on the present moment, we can access a deep sense of inner peace. Just by taking a few mindful breaths when feeling frustrated, you can tap into a sense of deep calm. Through consistent practice, mindfulness becomes a grounding force that enables us to approach both happiness and challenges with a sense of balance. Understanding is enhanced by a natural sense of curiosity, which leads to innovative ideas and a deeper grasp of knowledge. However, traditional schooling tends to discourage this type of creative questioning by expecting children to remain seated. Listen quietly and provide memorized responses. However, when children inquire with questions like why or what if, they engage in divergent thinking, establish connections, and acquire a deeper level of understanding. They keep their imaginations ignited. Studies indicate that asking questions activates areas of the brain associated with higher intelligence. It helps improve cognitive skills such as analysis, evaluation, and synthesis. By asking questions, we can uncover problems that need solving and find innovative ways to address them. Schools often view questioning as disruptive to their traditional teaching methods. However, this does result in a decrease in natural creativity and intelligence. Exploring the real world calls for a free-spirited approach rather than relying on pre-packaged answers. Continuing to question and nurture our curiosity throughout life helps us stay adaptable and reach our full potential. Maybe our education system should be questioning the need for extensive reform to promote inquiry. Jerry constantly felt like he was racing through life, overwhelmed and unfocused. His thoughts were always occupied with the next task on his to-do list or some future concern. Everyday tasks, such as eating and walking, the dog turned into rushed obligations for Jerry, who constantly felt the need to check emails and messages. Jerry felt drained and depleted due to his overwhelmed state. He desperately needed stillness to balance his frenzied days, but had no idea how to slow down his spinning thoughts. Jerry decided to enroll in a mindfulness meditation course based on a friend's recommendation. Learning to tune into his breathing, bodily sensations, and the present moment was challenging at first. With consistent practice, Jerry began to experience the peace he desired. By observing his thoughts without any judgment, Jerry was able to calm his mind. This would enable him to maintain focus on one task at a time, promoting a sense of peace. He discovered the beauty in the simple pleasures of stroking his dog and savoring every mouthful of food. Jerry discovered a way to find inner peace during busy days by incorporating brief moments of mindfulness. Staying grounded in the here and now gave him respite from his habitual worrying. Jerry's newfound state of presence allowed him to finally notice the beauty and meaning that had always been there, but had gone unnoticed due to his busy lifestyle. Jerry discovered that practicing mindfulness had a profound impact on his mental well-being.
So for us to be successful, for us to try whatever we need to try, to be better in better spaces, you know, to let things go, to let things be, to let allow people to be whoever they want to be or not to be. Ladies and gentlemen, what we need to do is allow mindfulness, allow it all to flow. And with that said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm doing my final rounds for this year, and I'm coming back bigger and better and stronger and a little bit more healed. I'm working on it, and I hope you're working on yourself too. From me, the matriarch, I love you oh so dearly. I wouldn't trade you for the world. You are important to me. You're more important to me than you think you are. And for me, it is always a pleasure to serve. It is always a pleasure to serve you. It is always a pleasure to be in your company. Whether here or now or later, we are together. Thank you so much for having been a part of my journey for 2025. And I'll see you guys next year. And I'll see you guys. Alrighty. Dan seek maar tot ons. Vier mekaar ontmoet. Van ek, die matriarch, ek sê tot ziens, oulalegale.